Blog Talk Radio.
The music kicks in. Here we go.
Sometimes I don't know, guys.
How's it going? This is Psychic Journeyman with Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio and Blog Talk Radio. Well, we're here today, and the topic for the show is, if you are destined to be rich, then why don't you have all the money you need? We also have a guest with us today, and she's with us right now, Barbara DeLong. She's a host of Nightlight, internationally known as the Spiritual Mystical Network, huh? So, on that case, Barbara, why don't you sit and tell everybody, because I keep messing up on the whole thing, so maybe you can get it out there.
You really do. It's quite amazing. I'm a spiritual empath, and I have a show on Blog Talk Radio as well. It's called Nightlight, and I do readings on it. It's from 10 to 12 on Monday nights, and I also do Matrix Radio on Fridays, and that's at 8 o'clock in the evening on Eastern Standard Time. that's more or less of a paranormal spiritual discussion group. And I've been doing this work for about 40 years. I have had a lovely time with it, and it just keeps getting better and better.
Okay. Don't you also have a deck of cards that you...
I do, and before you murder that, it's okay. Called the Cosmic Deck of Initiation, and they're circular cards. They're hand painted mandalas, and I did them about 20 years ago, and they're a lot of fun to use to read. They're not standard tarot, but they give a very spiritual reading, anyhow.
Now, actually, on that one, I'd actually practiced that before I came on, so I could actually say that one right.
Okay.
I guess I should have worked on the other ones first, too, huh? Also, I also want to introduce my co-host, Adored Angel. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm in a wonderful atmosphere right now. It's called the Crystal Matrix in Glendale, California. And they're allowing me to be here with this wonderful presence of all these crystals all around me. So welcome, and we'd love to have everybody call in for readings with Barbara, with Psychic Journeyman, or myself, Adored Angel.
So, that's good. So we're sort of talking about this topic today, but we're talking about people who, I think everybody has it in their mind that they all want to be rich, but I think in some ways the reason they don't have the money they need is they keep still thinking they don't deserve it, or they're still kind of like pulled into the lack of. Have you ever had any problems with some of the clients that you work with, too, Barbara, where it's like you can feel that they're more focusing on the lack of instead of focusing on what they really want to do?
Well, I think some people don't put a proper perspective on rich because, to be honest with you, I don't have a lot of money, but I really consider myself extraordinarily rich with friends and things falling my way when they're supposed to and the environment that I get to live in and work in. So some people, when they ask for abundance and they ask for riches, the universe does hear what they're saying, and often it gives them the richness that they deserve, and they just don't even see it. And I think what bothers me greatly is that people are equating abundance with money instead of the things that really count in life.
So I guess abundance could actually represent the essence of life itself.
Yeah.
So they're focusing on abundance, but they're focusing on money, and then maybe it's a contradiction. The universe is trying to figure out which one they want.
Well, if you ever considered it, if you were the richest man in the world, you couldn't buy love. But
right.
If you had all the love in the world, you wouldn't need any money.
Well, that's interesting, because I actually had a reading today I was doing, and a lady was basically focusing on a lot of stuff and trying to figure out a relationship. So I tried to tell her, I said, if you were in the right relationship with the right person, you wouldn't be thinking about it, because you'd be living it.
Right.
And she was like, but can I ask one more question? So, you know,
well,
she saw
often it. Often when people ask a question about relationship, they already have the answer. The fact that they had to ask the question is the answer.
Right. And then today I was actually on a reading of my own and getting a channeling from Barbara, and I wish I could remember her name so I could actually give her a plug too, because it was a very interesting and she's a very professional person, and it's just, she's channeling, but she's also like, she can channel but still be herself, so she can actually tell you, well, I think what your angels are telling you, and then she can really go into that whole thing, which is really good. excuse me. And we're going to have her on the show here next week, so we'll definitely give that information to the rest of you guys out there who actually are looking to, maybe it's the first time you've ever had a channel reading. So, and I'll get that information to you as soon as I can get the information myself. I'm actually trying to get the information as we're talking, but I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. So I'm right here by myself this time, doing everything I got to do. Big deal. But the one thing I noticed about the thing, too, was the questions I would ask. I would sit here and say, am I going to make $200 this week? And it was kind of funny how the spiritual guidance came through and said, why are you limiting yourself? You're putting a limit on that. You know, what is your potential? Now, the ideal of being on God's payroll, would there be a limitation? Which the answer would probably be no. There is no limitations. I'm making, and that's why I was sitting talking about this when we came up with the topic for the show, was the idea of trying to point out to people that the only thing that's probably keeping you from what you're actually focusing on is you. And how you're going to change that, and actually to be honest with yourself, to take those steps back and look at it and see what's up. I'm sure you've said that yourself before too, right, Barbara?
Well, yeah, I think that the important thing is that not the money, but the richness in life. I mean, if you're actually sharing of yourself, if you're giving of yourself, if you're being creative within your reality, you're going to be rich. It may not be money, but you're going to be rich. And frankly, money is the last thing that I would use to evaluate my success. My success is really more in terms of how many people have I touched, how many people have I helped, how many people have touched my life. And that's where real richness is. Money is something very transitory, and today it doesn't mean very much at all.
Right. And it's true. I mean, I was thinking about the same thing myself when I was sitting there focusing on it, and my angels are basically telling me to focus on my work, which is what I love to do. And in the process of doing that, they're telling me, by putting myself in what I love to do and actually reaffirming that to myself all the time, I love this. This is what I love to do. That energy itself is going to attract to me everything I need, so I don't need to worry about it.
Exactly.
It's just the ideal service. You know, you put yourself in a position of service, and you're genuinely helping people, you're always compensated for everything you do. And you were talking about before, too, about it's not always money. And I know for a fact, from doing this work for as long as I have, I've actually gotten payments in all kinds of ways. And certain particular situations of actually, you know, just being in my shop when I was in Colorado and saying, a little girl walks up and she's 15 and she wants to get a palm reading. And I was like, you know, sometimes that's no problem. Just come on out. She had no money. And she was like, you sure you can do this? Yeah, I can do this. It's a win-win situation. I can practice doing what I love to do, and you get the information you need to know. I felt like she was there for a reason. Everybody seemed to walk through that door for some reason. Maybe they didn't know at the time, but they were there for a reason. And, you know, and it's the ideal. The miracles that can happen when you put yourself out there and put yourself in a position of service, And when that was all over with, I mean, she came in for the reading, and then her uncle showed up with her mother. He was so impressed with what I saw, he paid for everybody. So what turned up, what I gave away is free, I was still compensated $65. So, you know, it was one of those things. It wasn't the money. I was just intrigued by the miracle that just, I always sit there and told everybody the same thing, too. If you let things go and let things happen, you know, money or whatever it is can fall in your lap if you let it.
Uh-huh.
And that was a prime example right there. It wasn't the money. It was the miracle that happened. I was just sitting there going, that was great. I was giving out the advice, and then it comes back and happens to me too. So I was just backing up what I've already been doing, talking to everybody else. So I think it's one of those things I had experience to go with what just happened. And then it started happening more and more and more.
Well, I've always found too that if you're living your life appropriately, if you're walking your talk, that what you need comes to you exactly. And I've always found that I always, if money is tight and I need money for something, somehow
mm-hmm.
that amount of money, not more, but that amount of money turns up on my doorstep.
Right.
And it's sort of like, okay, you just keep plugging, you keep going ahead, because it's the universe's way of saying, all right, you're on the right track, but we don't want you to get sidetracked by having too much.
Right. Yeah, I've been in a situation like that too, where I did get more than I asked for, but it was like a little bit, just like tempting me and saying, are you sure this is all you wanted? Maybe you should have asked for more, because I focused on $2,500 one time, because I knew that was the kind of money I felt like I needed to get a really nice place in Florida. And it was kind of funny how it all unfolded, because I actually ended up getting $2,560. So I think it was like, here's the house, and here's gas money, you know?
Uh-huh.
That line, and it was just like talking to everybody out there who's actually listening and saying, well, if you sit here and listen to the story, it's basically what we're doing. It was we're affirming very, you know, very detailed exactly what we want. And some of you guys out there are just sitting there wondering how come you don't have something, but you never really have, you know, affirmed it or really that's what I want.
Well, I think also it has to, people have to understand that these things just don't fall into our laps. We work really hard trying to give to other people, to teach, to learn, to grow. And by walking our talk and our philosophies, it's sort of like things become a little more easy for us because of what we're giving to other people. If you just sit and wait for the universe to give you something, it's not going to happen. You have to actually be seeking to help others, to give back to humanity, and when you're serving your fellow man, the universe truly does take care of you. But if mm-hmm. you are more selfishly oriented, it's not going to. You're going to struggle. You're maybe going to make a lot of money, but you aren't going to have any happiness.
Right. And then the idea of looking at the situation too, you really don't notice your manifestations until you're actually living them.
Uh-huh.
So you have to sit there and, I guess, and some people are like, what's the physical work? It's the idea of living your life, you know, okay, affirm it, say it, detail it, focus on it for about 10 or 15 minutes, and then you have to go to the next step, which I think is the most important step, is gratitude, being grateful for what you already have, instead of focusing on what you don't have, and I think that's a good thing. I think I think it was the angels that set, are kind of like designing it in that way, or maybe God, and they all worked at that and said, if we get them to focus on gratitude, then they don't have time to focus on what they don't have. Because I've noticed that once you start focusing on gratitude, you detach yourself from the thing that you were actually trying to manifest, and it seems like it happens quicker. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, I think that we always get what we need. And if we try to picture what the universe is supposed to give us, we never get what it is we really deserve. And you're right, you do limit yourself. You do prevent yourself from getting a great deal. If you're saying, I want to have enough money to buy a Lexus, and that means you are so caught up in the physical reality that you really aren't doing anything with the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And without the spiritual in your life, without the creative and the spiritual in your life, you actually have nothing.
Right. Yeah, you are the vehicle that actually brings those manifestations into reality anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like using it all. Because we were talking yesterday about gods, and there's just one God, and we came up with the idea that God's like a corporation. He's the president, and it kind of filters down through the angels. And I think, who was it? Someone brought the thing up about saying that she didn't think that they were gods. She felt like the gods that the Romans and the Greeks saw were actually angels, but misinterpreted. Because they were arrogant and conquerors, so they would just assume that something as powerful as them would be a god instead of an angel. But we were just kind of amazed that when you sit and take a look at all the guidance that you do have in God's corporation, you have a lot of help. So the idea of not having the life that you really want makes you wonder why you don't. And it's just I guess it's just the resistance. You're taught a certain way, and then I guess you acquire limitations as you go through life. And then everybody starts getting certain things as they get older, because they start realizing there are certain things that they, when they give up things, and I've seen this too with the idea of just life in itself, of certain things that we acquire, what's the way of putting it? I know I did a past life reading for myself, but it was more of a going in this past life to find out why there were certain things blocking me. And I've had some people that were talking to me about these things saying, well, the law of attraction works no matter what. And I said, well, I agree with that. It does work no matter what. But sometimes in situations I've noticed clogged chakras or auras, or maybe you're just hanging on to something of some kind of guilt or something in your subconscious mind that keeps telling you that you can't have something. So you come up with ways where the law of attraction won't give you what you want. And then you want to complain about that too. So I've always been working with people to clear out all those things so the law of attraction does work spontaneously for them. Does that make sense to you?
Well, the law of attraction, I believe, is always at work within our reality, and it's a matter of what we're putting out there to draw in that either makes it go faster or makes it go slower.
Perception.
I mean, it's a cosmic law. It isn't something that we can suddenly say, I'm going to use the cosmic law today. It's always working in our life. It's something that we have to be able to learn to live with, not just, you can't turn it on and turn it off. It's something that's always there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess what I was trying to say really is there anything that can actually, like, if you have a thought in your head that, say, your mother gave you when you were 8 years old, saying you would never amount to nothing, couldn't that block?
Well, I think if you have that in your head, that it's going to, it's absolutely going to affect you your entire life. Your feeling of self-worth and what you're going to strive for and what you're going to reach for is definitely compromised.
Right, so that could actually hinder your perception of reality, right?
Sure.
So you're going to see it as in limitations, so you have the tendency to, manifest more limitations to keep you from what you're getting. But if you get that, but if you take that thought, and you could take that thought and change it into something more positive, it would change your outcome, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there is a power of positive thinking. There is no doubt about that. And it does work. I know I've sometimes been accused of being a Pollyanna, but, you know, it's kind of like there is a positive in everything. You know, we're never handed anything as a punishment. God doesn't do that. God gives us what we need to grow, and if we can find what it is we're supposed to learn, then the hurdle is gone and we can move on. But we're not meant to be here to suffer. We're meant to be here to learn and to grow and to learn to serve each other and to sort of blend into a greater brotherhood of man. Well, the only problem is half of us don't understand the message.
All right. No, I just noticed that I was working with certain people that were sitting there getting mad because they couldn't manifest things, but I was trying to talk to them about, picture it like a gateway. If your gate's blocked, then nothing gets through.
Well, that's true.
So you're going to block it. But also in the same thing, too, if you have something in your subconscious mind, the law of attraction can only manifest through what it has to work with. So,
I know there were times when money was really, really tight for me, and so I put $1 million into my checking account. Just the register. I didn't have $1 million. But I found that when I looked at my register and I saw there was $1,002.35, I felt a lot more secure.
Right.
And you know, so long as I didn't draw against it, I was just fine. But it gave me a feeling of abundance. And when you have a feeling of abundance,
mm-hmm.
then that's what you manifest.
Right. Yeah, I've done the same thing with the $100 bill. I actually had a real $100 bill, but what I would do is I would go in and buy things to the point where I tried not to touch a $100 bill. So I always had $100 with me. And it just seemed to make me feel like I can spend $100 anytime I want. So I wasn't walking in the store saying I can't afford it. I was just choosing not to buy it.
Uh-huh.
And I just noticed my attitude started changing, where I started thinking about all the things I could do instead of thinking about all the things I can't do. So I thought that was a good old good thing. Because, I mean, my favorite one is basically I've seen this with Jack Canfield. And he's actually got a really good audio set, too. I just got called Maximize Your Confidence, 10 Secrets of Extreme Self-Esteem. I wrote everybody's words, okay, Barbara? Self-esteem. it's a really good set, too, because basically what it talks about is the worst thing that works against us is our inner talk. If we feed into what people are saying, they take our power away from us. But if we don't feed into what they say, and we basically, you know, encourage ourselves with our inner talk, then it seems to make the outer world a whole lot more positive place to work and live. And we feel confident. We also feel gratitude spontaneously. We're already in a situation appreciating what we have, because we have a different kind of lookout on our self-esteem. So we don't sit here and think about lack of, which is kind of funny with people who have low self-esteem, which is lack of self-esteem, always think of things of in the lack. But you change your self-esteem, it seems like it changes everything. So
I think, too, don't you feel there are too many labels in this world? Because mm-hmm. lack of self-esteem is a diagnosis it's given to tons of people who are having a bad moment. And if you say, oh, I see you're suffering from a lack of self-esteem, somebody will grab onto that. And that's what they will manifest. They kind of live up to the label that's been given them.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, labels. And it's kind of funny, too, because I've actually talked to the angels about names. And a lot of times when people ask me, what's my angel's name? They'll say, what's in a name? That's not important. What's important is the essence of the person. I think what they're trying to say is the same thing with human beings as well. It's the essence of that person, not what their name is. And your name and your job and your career, and even with what we do, psychics and that kind of thing, that's not who we are. It's what we do. And there's a difference between the two of who you are, really. I mean, because I'm pretty sure, Barbara, you're a whole lot deeper person than just being, you know, intuitive and psychic. That's just a part. But it's not the whole. And, you know, the idea of being called psychic, you're a psychic. No, that's what I do. But me as a person, as in like a psychic journeyman, my actual name is Donnie.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot deeper person to that person that I know of, too. And I think once you take the time to get to know people and open yourself up to the situation, you start realizing that titles have a tendency to be as limiting, too.
Oh, absolutely. But that's the world that we've created, and we have to try to make a change and do something different about it. I know I taught school for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught mentally retarded children who were then called mentally challenged, or, you know, the reality is they had difficulty learning.
Right.
And it always upset me greatly that they had that label of retarded, because it, mm-hmm. it followed them around for their entire lives. And in many cases, they've been misdiagnosed. They had a problem that they took care of, or, you know, mm-hmm. it wasn't a permanent condition, and yet the label stayed with them the rest of their lives.
Right. No, I've actually heard the same thing, too, about people diagnosed with MS and find out it was just a diet deficiency.
Uh-huh.
You know, some people are just, I think it's probably why I have trouble with doctors these days, because they're so quick to put a label on something when it could just be simply, you're not eating enough carrots, you know?
Yeah.
And same thing with diabetes. There's, you know, people don't know about there's actually a part of being diabetic where all you got to do is have a good diet. But they're always pushing the medications and all that kind of stuff, and everybody's just like thinking that's the picture they see in their heads when they say diabetes. Oh, my life's over. And I think if some of those labels didn't exist, people wouldn't come to the conclusion that my life's over. Same thing with cancer. I think it's one of those things where we're talking about not just the ideal of changing your destiny with money and materialistic stuff, but also realizing by changing your thinking and changing your life could also change certain diseases you're attracted to.
Because
I always felt like in the same way, too, when diseases happen in people's lives, they, if you really take a look at those situations and where the cancer is, it usually tells them about an emotional problem they're having or something, some kind of imbalance in their body, which is kind of, or I thought was amazing. Instead of putting medication in a person's body, when we work on that balance, imbalance in their bodies and balance it out. Because we all know for a fact that medication does nothing but mask everything. And I like to get to the root of the problem. I just wish doctors were like they used to be, where they're looking for that too. They're looking for the solution, not something just to cover it over.
Well, maybe a good idea if we had the same kind of a system they do in China, and it's either China or Japan, and I can't remember which now.
Right.
But you pay the doctor on a monthly basis so long as you're well. And if you become ill, you don't pay him anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's right. We haven't heard much from you.
Well, I've just been listening to this because of the fact that I'm really trying to find out, how do you go about your viewers that are basically listening right now to have them start on the baby steps of what we've been talking about? So they can just, you know, maybe just take the first step in going through what you've been, the topic is here about lack and not lack. What would you state and give them as a, like an introduction?
Well, sometimes we just kind of like give them a smack in the back of the head. That usually gets people started too. But maybe I should take my family out of this. Okay, I'm sorry. But the one thing I would say is, the first thing I ever learned was the idea of when you manifest something, accept it on how it's going to play out instead of trying to dictate how it's going to happen. Do you understand what I'm saying, Barbara? It's like some people want something, but they're not really willing to let it come to them the way it should. So they want to try to manipulate that and say, well, I need it for it to come to this person, and Chuck's going to be the person I'm going to be working with, instead of just saying, like, I'll give you an example. It's like right here with radio. I sat there and said a couple years ago I wanted to do radio. And I could have sat there and said, well, this is not real radio. But the point of the whole thing was it's playing itself out the way it's supposed to, so therefore maybe in the process of actually doing real radio, this is like a learning experience to get the knowledge and the experience to do that. So it's like going with the flow and just letting it happen. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I think that to say you want something in your life and then try to micromanage it and put conditions on it absolutely prevents the universe from doing anything. Because we really don't have the knowledge, the wisdom, the insight as to how we're supposed to be moving along this pathway. And baby steps in bringing abundance into your life. One of them would be to do a vision board. One of them would be to start focusing on the positive things you have in your life, the blessings you have in your life, and paying more attention to those things that already have been gifted to you by the universe.
Right.
There's an old hymn, Count Your Blessings. It makes a great deal of sense. And I can remember I did a church service once where I gave everybody a long piece of string, and I said, I want you to sit here and we'll talk about things as they go along. And for every blessing you have in your life, whether it's good health, or I didn't die today, or the tax man didn't come today, or my child didn't flunk out of school today. I mean, you can even take a negative and make it a positive. But every positive you have in your life, tie a knot.
Right.
And at the end of this sermon, I said, okay, now tie that around your wrist. And for the next week, every time you feel down, look at all the knots you have in that string and touch them and remember the blessings. And then the difficulty is not going to seem as great.
Hmm. That's a good one.
That's wonderful. I really like that.
Yeah, I'll sit there and put that in. Taking notes. I'm just saying what I was picking up. I'm just saying the first thing I've seen people do is when I sit there and say make it a definite decision that you do want that manifestation, it's the ideal, don't change your mind.
And you know what? That is so true because of the fact that you have too many, choices, and you don't focus on one choice in itself and go directly towards it. That's what I've been learning right now is just go make that choice and go for it.
Exactly. So when I say make a definite decision, that's what you want to do. I mean, you don't sit there and 5 minutes later, like she said, when you're sitting there looking at the thing, changing your mind. Because you change your mind very quickly. Some people don't even recognize what they're doing when they sit there and say things like, I want a nice Hummer. And then 5 minutes later, they're talking about how it won't happen, which is basically canceling out the whole thing because you don't have any faith in what you're even saying.
But don't you think that people should be careful about what they're asking for? Because and with your example of a Hummer, and I'm sure that's not something that you're focusing on, but in asking for, instead of specifics, asking for the opportunity to grow or people to come into your life that can help you manifest more greatly the things that are most important.
Yeah,
you know, I think if people are focused on the material, that's what they're going to get, and that won't bring them richness in their life. That will only bring them things.
Oh, yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying, but in some ways I am focusing on a Hummer, but it's not in the sense of just having a Hummer. I know what you're talking about. It's like people just wishing for things just be wishing for them because they think that's what they should have. But in my situation, for example, I'm wishing on that because I think it would be something I could actually work out of instead of having like a van or something. So I was thinking on that more or less, that line of having that to work out of and how it actually enhance what I do. Where I could actually, say we have a person who wants to get a reading, but she's handicapped and she's like bedridden and she's still going, but she still wants to get that insight and stuff. And it was just another way of saying, okay, I can come to you and see you coming to me.
How about, though, then manifesting on what the universe thinks is most appropriate for you and the work that you're doing?
Well, that makes sense. No, I agree with that 100%. Because we were sitting there talking about it, because I was sitting there talking, I'm focusing on a Hummer, but it kind of popped in my head. My friend said, my friend has actually been focusing on, somebody asked her what she wanted. What's the one thing you would love to have if you could have anything in the world? And she said for everybody else to have what they want. And she also said, she wanted peace on earth. She wanted everybody to take consideration of other people's feelings. She wanted everybody to love each other unconditionally. So she was thinking, and not one time did she ever say anything that she really wanted for herself. It was all these things that she wanted for everybody else.
That case, the universe is going to take care of her.
I would definitely agree with that one because I don't think I've ever heard her say anything or be in a situation where she's always not had what she wanted because she's never even talked about it. So, that was a prime example for everybody of where to start. You know, she's really done a lot of work on herself to realize that in life, everything's a choice. And she can choose those things, and she can choose all the things, but she's chosen nothing but to love everybody else and she treats everybody like she would want to be treated instead of getting mad because people treat her a certain way. So she doesn't really matter how they treat her. She's going to constantly treat everybody else the way they should be treated. And that's why she's talking.
Well, that's, you know, that's the golden rule, and certainly every major religion out there is founded on the golden rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's like we've seen it talking about before with some of the Bible. The Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if you sit and look at that whole thing, it seems like it always focuses on self, but not in a selfish way. It's like change the world, change yourself. Change yourself, change the world.
Yeah.
And I've seen those situations where if you sit there, and I understand where you're coming from too, if you just unconditionally loved everybody, the idea of the Ten Commandments, you would never think about the Ten Commandments. Because you would never be in a position of breaking any of those laws, because you would always be constantly loving each other. So therefore, you would never want to have adultery, because you would think of it was the person you're with.
Well, absolutely, and you know, the golden rule is basically actually, if you boiled the Bible all the way down to two words, it would be love and give.
Uh-oh, we lost somebody. Okay.
Did we?
Yeah, I think, I can't remember her name. I hate when I go blank. It's been a crazy
your
day.
Your co-host?
Yeah, it's my co-host, Adored Angel, Desiree. I call her Desiree. That's her name. I think she might have trouble with the phone. She said she's actually working in a shop today, too. So she's at, she said, I told her that when we're doing the show and everything else, just, if you had to go off and do a reading or something, just pop back in when you're done, and she can do that from time to time.
Okay.
I guess you would say she's on her mission right now to get her service the best way she can. So she's trying to be here and there at the same time. So we're just, she's great to work with.
Well, she seems like a very sweet person.
Yeah, so she's right. It's like baby steps. And I think baby steps on her, what she's getting at is more of where to start. And I think that really, honestly, would be depending on the person themselves, wouldn't it be?
Well, sure. I think everybody's at a different place in their own evolution, and everyone has a different pathway and a different way of achieving and manifesting what it is they're here to do. But, you know, baby steps would be walking your talk.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly walking your talk is probably the hardest thing there is going as far as this field goes, because if you don't walk your talk, nobody's going to listen to you.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny with a lot of people when they sit there and they're kind of baffled because no one's listening to them. It's kind of hard to, I guess it's one of those things where you can actually see why.
Yeah.
But you can't understand why they can't see it themselves. And people say that you're too close to the problem, but I think sometimes that, to me, that could actually be an excuse not to look. Because, I mean, a lot of us are taken or done this self, you know, realization of looking at ourselves. And there were some things that came to light that brought it to our attention, but we still made the conscious effort to look at it, too. So I've actually talked to several people that they keep saying that, you know, that's just the way it is. And I just feel like they're just letting it be more of like another limitation instead of actually looking at it. And
well, it's always so much easier to try to put everything on other people instead of actually saying, geez, maybe I need to deal a little bit with that myself. And I found that every reading I've ever done, every person I've ever been involved with has had something within them that certainly I was working on too, or I had to work on too, and it's important to not look or consider that you are above everything else, to understand that we're here to share, and this growth process is not an individual one, and nobody is above anybody else. We're equal.
Yes, and everybody's a reflection.
Absolutely.
Everybody's coming in your life for a reason, some kind of reflection of something you should work on. And you know, sometimes it's, when you say work on, it doesn't mean it's always something you got to give up. It could also be something to realize another thing about yourself. I mean, I know doing readings, you're right. Every time I've ever done any readings for anybody, everybody gets blasted. Everybody walks away from that situation learning something. So it's just not the person you're doing the reading for. You're right. I've actually stopped in the middle of readings and said, hold on for a minute. And they were like, what? Is something wrong? I was like, no, I just think I just saw one of my problems too. So, you know, and I just feel like it had to be said at that time. It just happened just the way it did so they would understand that they're not alone, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We're all working through things. We're all having fun. And the more you look at it and look at your problems and situations and working through them, it's actually very enjoyable, too, you know, instead of looking at it as a chore.
Well, I think a lot of times people who give readings forget that they're still supposed to grow as well.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely agree with that one. And I like working with people that have the same attitude as I do. And what's so funny about it, too, you probably notice this yourself, too, Barbara. The more you really get into this whole thing and the more you're honest with yourself, the more you seem to find honest people to work with.
Oh, yeah.
And the more your readings that you're doing for other people, they seem to be very more open to you as well, too. So, you know, it's all, like we said before, it's all reflection. Now, if you think about that, because I was sitting there talking to a friend of mine, I said, I'm tired of people, psychiatrists and therapists, when they talk in their relationships, telling people you can't live on love. I think that's sending the wrong message. Because I've always been told that if you're with the right person, unconditionally loving each other, that love will basically attract everything to you. So it's, you know.
I'd agree with that.
I've heard it before where they sit there going, if you think you guys can live on love, you think again. I'm sitting there going, why would you do that? Not that we're supposed to help the relationship. That just kind of like put another brick between the two of them, I thought. What do you think?
It is probably not the kindest thing you could say to somebody. Usually I look at people who say things like that and I feel sorry for them because they obviously have never had the kind of love that these people are talking about.
That makes sense, too. Are they, I mean, you know, you see some of these, I was kind of thinking one day, watching a movie where you had a psychiatrist who's just sitting there writing in his notepad, and the person's talking about shooting a dragon, and the guy's sitting there going, and, you know, and the guy, and he just really started getting even more elaborate and just started talking about anything off the wall. And it was just so funny because we all knew for a fact that the psychiatrist wasn't even listening.
Yeah.
He was just sitting there going the whole thing. And, I mean, we know for a fact. And I think it's so funny, too, when people come to us, and that's the first thing we definitely do is listen and take it to the
point
because we're detailing it to the person themselves. And I think sometimes with these people who are supposedly called professionals have a tendency not to act too professionally about the whole thing. And this has a reason I would even say anything about this is because this has a lot of effect on people and how they can actually focus on their lives because a lot of times they get in a situation, I mean, you should, for that, as an example, I mean, the person is telling them they can't live on love. I mean, it's almost like you're taking a tool away from them and saying, okay, if I can't do that, then I guess I can't have the life that I want. What do you think?
Who is anybody to judge someone else like that, frankly?
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
I mean, yeah, you can live on love. Of course, it takes some food and shelter and stuff like that, too. But if you have love, you can almost make anything else happen.
It's all energy. What we try to do, attract more of that energy, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Because I was sitting around this one person, which was a client of mine. I won't mention any names because she doesn't want me to. But it was an example of saying, okay, the energy that you use to attract love, it's the same energy you use to attract a job. It's the same energy you attract anything. It's all the same. It's just used in different ways. It's like love itself. The energy of love is the same. It's just expressed in different ways.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
It does, yeah.
I think. So I was just, you know, sitting there telling her, I said, think about that. But every time you sit there and look at these situations, it always goes back to you. So you have to ask yourself what you did to attract certain things, you know, or attract everything.
Well, you have to take responsibility for the fact that you have attracted it to you.
And then once you realize you attracted to, say it's a bad thing, and you just realize and you took responsibility for it, it makes you also realize, since I attracted that, why don't I try to attract something good this time instead of the bad thing?
So well, and the, you know, reality is that there is so much amazing stuff out there, and if we could just relax and let the universe do its job, most probably a lot of things would come to us.
Mm-hmm. That is true. I think sometimes, like I said before, we're talking about one thing about don't focus on the lack of, and what that means is, it's like, I had to learn this too, and that's just recently too, it's like I'm focusing on going back to Colorado. Well, the idea of focusing on going back to Colorado is also focusing me on living in the past, because I'm focusing on is the visions of what I had when I was out there, instead of focusing on what I want. It's basically a future out there, but by putting my energy on the past, I'm going the wrong direction, when I should be visualizing and focusing on what I want it to happen. So when I sit there, I mean, personally, when I'm talking about focusing on the lack of, sometimes it's in the process of focusing on these things, we have a tendency to still talk about what we don't have.
Sure.
And we get caught up in our little world and say, okay, if I only had, you know, so if I only had this, I only had that, you're still thinking of the lack of thing. And I guess if we're talking about baby steps here, I would definitely say stop doing that. Because I know when I stopped everything and started focusing on the future, and actually, I would take it back a little bit, actually focusing on now, focusing on the now, what's going on right this minute. And actually, when I'm manifesting, that's what I do. I always focus on it like I already have it. And it always seems like it happens quicker. But I understand what you're saying too, Barbara. You know, God gives us what we need. So I figure if you're focusing on something and they say you didn't get it, it's also an answer itself. It's like God's your father. And it's like God, you know, as being a parent, you don't give your kids everything. You know, you try to do the best for them and try to give them what they need.
Right.
And then they have a tendency, as they get older, and they get on their own, they realize that. And so then they appreciate us. And they gave us everything we needed. Not what I wanted, but I always had everything I needed. And then they realize how, really, by focusing on the lack of, they didn't realize how happy they really was. Does that make sense?
That's true.
Yeah, so that's what we're talking about, baby steps, is taking it one step at a time, but also realize, when I say realize what you want, definitely realize what you want, not what you don't have. But
realizing what you have is, you know, a better way to go, because you've got it, and you can celebrate it, and you can be grateful for it instead of getting bitter about not having something that if you... You know, let's face it, if you don't have it, you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
You may want it, but you don't need it.
Yeah, and when we're talking about letting it unfold the way it's going to unfold, you're going to start realizing what you really need and what you don't. Because you're always going to get exactly what you need. And then you're going to sit back and realize, you know, like, I like to use stories from time to time where I'm sitting there looking at the situation of a couple of shots I had. And I know for the fact that the second shot I had, I probably would have had it sooner if I wouldn't have been so dead bent on something I didn't really need, which was a huge shop and partners and all that kind of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen this one little place. It was very small. Really small. Because it was just, I think it was 5 feet by 6 feet, very small. And I used to pass it all the time. And I think the reason it had a big, bright blue door is because I think it's the way the angels had it planned. Because every time I go by that place, it always had that, it seemed like that blue would always get brighter. But in the process of trying to, I guess you would sit there and say, I always sit there and listen to your guidance and your angels and that kind of stuff and which way you should go, and then basically let go of the bank and let them go down the river of life and see how, you know, everything's going to unfold, instead of trying to basically take it and manipulate it the way you want it to. And that's what I was
micromanaging your evolution is never a smart idea.
I know. In this situation, I think I wasted a lot of time, but I still learned. I mean, you can say wasted time. I'd more like to look at it finding out what I really needed to compare to what I thought I needed. Because I was sitting there focusing on that. I need three. I said I want to get a shop with, you know, a partner, maybe three, maybe four or five psychics. We'll do this and this. And I had this vision in my head. And so I can see it, man. You know, but here I am the whole time I didn't make a good decision to leave the shop that I was in because I couldn't trust the lady, and I just couldn't work there, and I didn't feel comfortable, and I just wasn't happy with it. So I made that conscious decision to walk away and start looking for something that I was really happy with, and where I could actually do my work and feel like I was when I first started working there, because it just seemed, it got to the point where my partner would be, I couldn't wait till she left. And I said, this is not good. So I made a decision to leave. And then next thing I know, I was working in my other friend's shop. Got along with those people nicely, and they gave me a nice little corner in the shop that they had, and I did my readings and stuff, and I was very content with the way things were going on, but I was still trying to focus on that big, big picture of things. And then finally, one day, I came across that shop, and for some reason, the phone number on the big, on the little sign, and it was a little sign. I mean, you really need a big old pair of glasses to see that from where I was. But all of a sudden, it was like so freaking bright. Boom. Here's the phone number. Give this phone number a call. And it seemed like, I guess you could also use this as an example, too. As soon as I made the right decision and let the guidance that I was asking for in the first place and take it for what it was and go in the direction that I was supposed to go into in the first place, everything started falling into place. I called the people about the shop. And I said, I'd like to take a look at this thing. I saw it. And I actually got the chance to go in it. And instead of going, I said, I'm asking my angel, I said, you sure about this? And they go, you got to put yourself in it to see the potential of what it can actually do for you. So I said, okay, that wasn't me saying that, because that was really a pretty powerful message. So I said, okay, fine, we'll just keep going forward. And it was kind of funny, too, because up to that point, I had a lot of stuff that happened to me that most people would call miracles, when it was just the idea of listening instead of trying to do it myself, listening to what was going on. So I sit there and put myself in the situation, got the shop. I mean, they were still talking to me and saying, okay, you know, instead of letting the world dictate your success, just put a point out, you're going to do that. What do you want? What do you want to do? How much you want to pay? So I sit there and told these people, it was kind of funny because this shop used to go for $300 a month. I just told them flat out, I want to pay $150 because that was a figure that popped in my head. And that's what I'm saying. When those things I started manifesting spontaneously, one after another, but it was just from one choice of saying, you know, okay, what's the answer, and actually trusting and finding the answer, which was actually the smaller shop that had been there the whole time. All these miracles started happening, and I just got right thinking, but it just seemed like they all fell into place. I mean, I got a shop that usually went for $300 a month. I got it for $150. The only requirement they really asked for that I didn't ask for was a $50 deposit. I'm like, well, since I'm only paying $150, I can pay that too. And things just started getting easier and easier, not harder and harder. And that was I guess that was a sign too in itself. So just by that one decision to do that, and it was definitely a decision to let the manifestation go where it was. Now, there was a couple questions I did do where I asked, but I eventually let those go too. And I just started finding that there were certain things that were falling to the curve in favor of this. So I started realizing what I did need and what I didn't need. And everything just came. I'm just saying also I was very happy. I didn't have any partners. It was just,
yeah.
I didn't have to deal with anybody. And the people, the friends that I started acquiring too, because it's, you know, in the point of having the partner who I didn't trust, I was also on the guard a lot. So there's a lot of people that were crossing my path that were okay. They were nice people, but working with somebody who I was already on the defense with, I had a tendency to miss a couple of those. And then as soon as I put myself in this shop, I started meeting those people again and started seeing them in a different light, because there wasn't anything there, and there wasn't nothing negative to block my thinking or distract me, so I could see things for exactly for what they was. So I'm just saying, you know, for the long story, it was just baby steps for me was getting back to what I was, back to what I knew before in the first place, and then accepting the whole thing of saying, I want things to be easier. I want things to, there has to be a different way. So instead of dealing with somebody I couldn't trust, it was the ideal. I didn't need to work with anybody in the first place.
Well, yeah, and probably it was your, you know, every now and then, I can remember when I was much younger, a lot younger.
Right.
I used to look at these huge houses and think, oh, my God, someday I want to have a mansion like that. I want to have a huge house where I can do all of this wonderful stuff in. And I have not achieved that because it was wise that the universe didn't give it to me. But my son recently bought a huge house, and when he showed me pictures of it, it was exactly like I would have dreamed of when I was in my 20s. And the only thing I could think of when I looked at it was, gee, I wouldn't want to have to clean that sucker. So I think that sometimes our fantasies run away with us, and they impact our reality. Mm-hmm. And the reality is I'm much happier in something that is cozy and has a personality than in something that is grandiose and impressive to other people. So I think that as we grow, hopefully spiritually, we understand that it isn't what we have that's important, it's what we are.
That's really
and who we are.
That's why I learned when I got that shop, too. I mean, I got to spend a lot of time with myself. Also with the situation of I didn't have any power or certain things I could have looked at as being a problem, but it just kind of like things I'd gotten away from, like creativity, you know, imagination, just using all those things I'd had before. It even gave me time to sit down and do some artwork that I hadn't done in a while. So it was, you know, and I was also saying that it was like just one miracle after another happened. Okay, so it told me for a fact that I was going in the right direction. I mean, when I got furniture for the shop, it was walking into a furniture store. But it was also not just walking into a furniture store, it was just the idea of having faith. Maybe myself, maybe my guys, but I had to have faith in myself to listen to what they were saying. And I remember this one particular one. I walk in there, I'm like, I said, angels, I know you had me come in here for a reason, but there's tables in here for $200. I don't have a $200 budget for tables. You know, I said, I know you brought me in here for a reason. So I was, by having that faith and trust, I stayed there until I found out why they brought me there. And it took me about 20 minutes, but, you know, I went from the $200 tables to the $100 tables. And in the process, I'm sitting there going, okay, I'm in here for a reason. The lady brought me back here. There's $100 tables. What's up with this? And I just happened to turn to the right, and I said, there's these tables in the corner. What you doing with those tables in the corner? And she goes, oh, they're free. We're just trying to get rid of those. And I said, now I understand why.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'll take two. You know, but it was just so... The one thing I would say out of the whole thing is we're all looking to be happy. And at that moment, I was so happy because I realized that the path I had chosen, it was the one.
So then, well, I think that's one question that I get a lot. People will say to me, how do I know if I'm on the right path? And the simple answer is, if you're happy and things are falling your way, you're on the right path. If you're not happy, if you're hitting your head against a brick wall, then quite possibly you're on the wrong path and you want to reconsider the direction you're going. Because the universe literally rewards those who are following on the right path, those who are going along the spiritual pathway, the pathway their spirit put forth in front of them, this incarnation, those who are serving humanity and sharing of their lives with other people. Those are the people that literally have things falling in their way.
Right.
No, and
the void.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that, there was a certain path that I chose too, and I just kept on hearing messages about people that were going to do this, people were going to do that, and I just wasn't listening. And then they all kind of like did their little thing. But I was also looking at the situation too and saying, why are they happening? Why are all these things happening? All I kept on hearing was, because we told you which way you should go, and you decided that you want to be arrogant and go the other direction. And it's just a point of pointing out to you, it's easier than you think. You're just making it hard because you think that's what you should be doing. But what are you doing it for? Are you doing it because of what you are destined to do? Because you're not doing what you're destined to do in this path you've chosen. You're too busy. You're helping other. You think you're helping other people, but all you're doing is hindering you from where you should be at. It's almost like you're running away from it. So you should take a look at them, see what happens. Because if you don't, you're going to end up in a place where you don't really want to be at it all. And actually, in that situation, I'm not listening. I still would not listen. And next thing I know, I was out in the streets walking around going, okay, what just happened? And then thinking at that moment, okay, I did get messages that this was going to happen. So why am I here? Because of my own decision. But they changed also as quick as they got bad, too. So I'm just saying, change your thinking, change your life, literally.
Absolutely.
So I think we should go ahead and take some calls. What do you think?
Oh, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. All right. Because I was just so... I was actually thinking about that shot back out there, and it was it's amazing how I was avoiding that whole thing the whole time, and when I got in there, how much fun I had when I got there.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take the call here, 814. You're on the
Hello.
Air.
Hello.
How are you? I'm doing great.
Great. I do have a question. Are you guys doing readings?
Ask your question. You know, when we if you don't have a comment about the show, then we have no problem answering your questions or what you really want to talk about.
Okay. First off, I do have a comment about the show. I am learning a lot, and I do appreciate you having such a wonderful discussion. It's really focusing on some things that are going on with me and me. Everything is, and I am blessed.
Now, Sue, what is your name? What is your name?
My name is Shannon.
Sharon.
Shannon.
Right? You got to do me one favor. Just bear with us because you got a real good echo. So it's almost like it's saying Sherry. So I'm just saying, I'm just asking if you would say hi to Barbara, because I'm learning a lot from Barbara myself.
Hello, Barbara.
Hi, I'm glad you called in. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
How can we help you?
Yeah, you got a couple questions?
Yes, my question is about my partner.
Okay.
Just curious why he's hesitant. Oh.
You're okay. Like I said, we have an echo, so you're wondering why he's being hesitant.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like he's been hesitant toward a lot of things for a long time.
Yeah.
Mr. Procrastination. What do you call that? Procrastination. He loves that. He just. Really, I think he, I mean, I'm just saying, why I pick up with him, he has a commitment problem where he can't commit to even answering a question. Do I think it would change? Now, I'm not trying to be negative in any kind of shape or form, but it's like, I feel like in some ways he won't, but I also feel like with the way you are with him, you allow him to do that. I think if you were call him on that and be not really more assertive, but just more expressive on how you really feel at that moment when he does that, instead of just kind of letting him do that, I feel like that he would. I feel like in some ways, it's like, how would you put this? It's like he is aware of his lack of commitment, but in some ways he's not. I think if you brought it to his attention on a regular basis, that he would work on it. What do you think, Barbara?
I think that you drew him to you because you're used to having men who are emotionally unavailable to you in your life. And it feels like this is a pattern that you've replicated over and over again. I kind of have to ask you, is this a pattern, is it not?
No.
Because all I'm seeing is that this unavailability is something you've experienced before, and that this is, you drew this person to you because you were replicating a pattern that you were familiar with from the past. And my feeling, I feel really strongly about this too, is that as soon as you just say to yourself that you deserve someone in your life that will commit to you and be as open as you would like to have them be with you, that you will get that. But it's a matter of you declaring that you deserve to have it in your life. And it feels like you're accepting this, so that's what you're getting. If you say to yourself, and the universe, I deserve better than this, and I want more than this in my life, it will come.
Yeah.
Actually, not with him. It's different with him. It's not like an old pattern at all.
Well, if that's
okay, I still say, if you declared that you wanted somebody in your life that would be as open about commitment as you would like, it will come. It may not be with this person, however.
Yeah, try to sit back and actually sit there and think about the definition of the characteristics of what you're wanting in a person in a relationship.
Uh-huh. Just, uh-huh.
And then sit there and put it out to the universe. And if this guy here is still with you, then I guess that would be your answer. If he's not, then he will be taken out of the situation in favor of what you really do want, or what you really need. And what it seems like here, what you really need is somebody to commit to you 100%, like you do yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you sit there and look at the situation, maybe what Barbara's picking up, too, is the ideal of something from your past that's causing this pattern that you have. It might not even be from this lifetime. It might be from a previous lifetime. Personally, that's what I'm picking up with you, where I feel like it's something that's actually, from what I'm picking up from the situation, it could be something that's continuing in this lifetime to the last time. We could even trace it back to a third. So sometimes in these situations of sitting there and coming back and saying, no, that's not it, or no, I don't think so, it's just a way of getting you to open your mind just a little bit more to really take a look at it, and you might find out there's more truth to it than you think.
Okay.
So see, we're not saying you're right or you're wrong. It's like almost like a situation of you taking and examining it for yourself, because you got to start there yourself anyway before you can do anything changing. But I really feel like what she's saying is declare it. And if he is the one, it will all play out that way. Okay? And you'll have what you want. But don't get caught up in the situation we were talking about before, the lack of, because I have a friend of mine who's just something like this, where she's focusing on a person who she thinks is the person when she hasn't really examined her little list that she has of characteristics of the kind of person she wants to be with, because she's closed-minded now, because she's in love and she wants this situation, and she can't figure out how it's not going the way she wants to. And then she did re-examine it and found out he wasn't even close. Okay? So it was one of those things. I mean, nothing wrong with emotion and expressing yourself, but in certain situations, I don't think you should let those emotions make decisions for you. And that's what you're supposed to do. And then when you get there, let yourself feel it. But right now, it seems like you're not feeling it here. So you should definitely take a look at it.
Well, I really do. There are a lot of times. I feel like I should write him a letter. I feel like I should.
I would definitely write a letter too. I feel like you really need to express yourself, but I also feel like with the situation of expressing through letters, there has to be a face-to-face too to go over that letter as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? Letters, emails, and phone calls, those are great. But relationships in the beginning were one-on-one. There was not all this stuff in the middle. And sometimes these things can actually create blocks between the two of you, and it can also create blocks to see things for what they really are. And maybe you should ask yourself about the emotional, as Barbara was saying, you know, most this like guys who are not emotionally available, and here you are writing a letter. To me, that seems like a little bit of not being emotionally available yourself, because you'd rather go through a letter than actually kind of arrange a way of you to sit down with him and deal with this and really find out what's really going on. Just take a chance. I mean, I'm just saying, look at all the possibilities. Don't sit there and just, you know, that one's good, that one's good. Everything happens for a reason. So you can't exclude certain things you're not willing to look at in favor of the ones that are comfortable. Because when you start looking at the ones that are uncomfortable, that's where the strength's at, okay?
Okay.
Anything you'd like to add to that, Barbara?
No, I think you put it very well. I think that you have some wonderful qualities here, and I just don't think you're getting credit for them, and I don't feel that this person is a person that will appreciate you for all of the wonderful things you have to share. And you don't have to settle, and it feels like you're settling here.
Yeah, that's one thing I would look back to. You know, it's one of those things of tracing yourself back to when you were, when you had that big dream of your life, and ask if you've compromised. You might be amazed at what you see yourself. So take a look at that, okay?
Okay.
Because we're already saying that, you have a lot of qualities that should be appreciated. You really take a lot. I mean, if the guy really realized how much consideration you're taking into this. This is conversation. We're not questioning how you feel toward him. Okay? But don't be scared of what. Don't be scared to see it for what it really is. There may be some pain and some hurt with it, but at the same time, there's also a lot of strength to be gained from it to understand that it's just pointing you in the right direction to what you really want, which is also going to meet all your needs as well. And get appreciated on all levels, not just a couple here and there. Because you're a whole person, so you should be complimented on that wholeness, not just, oh, you got great hair. Okay. But there's a lot. There's also a person underneath that is a great person as well. Just ask yourself how much appreciation and how much respect you're really getting from this person. I mean, if he's being distant and he's not really wanting to communicate with you or even giving you the opportunity to even do anything on a face-to-face level, that's a little lack of respect. Because you deserve that. What do you think? You there?
Yes, I'm listening. I thought you were asking Barbara what she thought.
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay. Okay, Shannon, now it's your turn. What do you think?
Yes, I do believe that it is unrespectful to not reply back. I really do.
Okay, well, if you want to write that letter, I'm not saying you shouldn't write that letter. I think like you're going to let some things out. I think writing this letter, I just feel like there should be a face-to-face with this person. But the letter itself, I think it's going to be a way for you to express without any kind of pressure. But also look and focus on when you're writing this letter, exactly what's coming out too as well. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay, so I'm saying if you start noticing a pattern or something that comes out to you personally, take notice of that, okay?
Okay, don't know how he feels about me because he's awfully quick.
I will say one thing about that comment. I know from experience and just living in this world that when you're with the right person, there's no questions about how they feel. You might have a little bit of questions about some of their actions sometimes, but when it comes to, does this man love me? You use, or a woman, I'll say woman on my part. But I'm just saying, with that kind of situation going on, you should know. Somewhere in your being, you should know that. So maybe you're so caught in the situation of trying to figure out what's going on. Maybe you really do know. So take some time for that, too, just to ask yourself. When you're around him and your connection, and maybe when you're not around him and you're thinking about him, how do you think he feels about you? And be honest with yourself.
Honestly, I have the answer to that. I do feel that he loves me very much and that he's afraid.
Okay. He's afraid, but you still know in your heart that he loves you. All I want you to do is take some time to yourself. Because if he does, I'm just saying, if this is what it really is, and it is what it is, it will be. No matter how much time you take to yourself, how much distance between the two of you, it doesn't matter. It will happen. I'm just saying, being honest with yourself when it's like two people going in two different directions, that it's not really anything false. It's just the idea that says, pretty much, when you start manifesting things, what you're doing is setting things right. Okay? And when these things happen, don't look at them as mistakes or not mistakes. It's just everything's falling into place like it's supposed to. Okay? So write your letter. I'm just saying, when you're writing this letter, I just feel like you're going to be surprised by what you come up with and what kind of realization that comes out of that. Where you'll even question if you even should mail it or not. Do what you got to do. Because you're, I mean, I can sense with you right now this letter is going to be written no matter what. So, I'm just saying, I do feel like your angels are guiding you in certain directions and certain ways to go in this whole situation. And you should follow that, but I feel like in some ways you're not. You're listening to some of the guidance, but maybe some of the stuff that you're not really comfortable with, you're not listening to. So I feel like when you write this letter, some of those things might come to the forefront. Like I would actually say yes, I do see them coming to the forefront. What do you think, Barbara?
I think that she really at this point has all of her answers, and I'm sure that he cares, but not that he's able to manifest it. And, you know, sometimes we come into this lifetime with the inability to manifest the things that are inside of us. We all have different pathways, different things we're in each lifetime to achieve, and you may well be feeling something from a past lifetime, and you may well be caught in a situation where what you know is absolutely true is something that he is incapable of this lifetime in manifesting. So please understand that not always are we meant to get what it is we want so dearly. And you know, I would not dispute the fact that you care for him, because it's very obvious that you do. But right now, I think you're caught up in a loop from a past lifetime. And if you can just give yourself 6 months, maybe 7, I think it's going to be so much clearer to you that there won't be the issue that there is right now.
Yes.
Okay. And be patient with yourself. I think there's a learning process here going on, and you can't make something happen faster than it's supposed to happen. If it's supposed to happen.
Yeah,
I feel at home with him. I feel very at home with him. Like I'm at home. I feel surrounded by angel wings. I see God when I see him. And I see God when I look in the mirror. I wasn't looking for a relationship. I've been having one with myself. I've been very happy, and he came into my life. And to me, he's amazing.
I actually feel like that some of the stuff that's coming through, God's like, yeah, you see God in the mirror. Of course you do, because that's who you really are. You are an extension of God. So it's almost like you get a lot of input there, where it's like trying to help you see your potential and see seeing how powerful you really are, because you're not using all your gifts. And with the situation with this, like we said before, give yourself about 6 or 7 months. Basically what it's saying, don't rush into anything and just let it. I always just sit back and it says, is this good? And there's certain things that are great going on, great. And just sit back and enjoy it. But the idea of jumping into anything more permanent, I would give about 6 or 7 months.
And you know, if this is meant to be, it will be. And there's nothing anybody can say or do that's going to make it different than that. I mean, when people are destined to be together, they're together.
Yeah, there's no... a lot of people talk about this a lot. I've done this with a lot of relationship counseling I do, where people are talking all this, all these blockages and stuff in the way, and they're trying to figure out how to get rid of the blockages. And sometimes it's not the idea of getting rid of the blockages. It's just that they're throwing these things in the way because they're trying to basically propel you into a different direction. You know, sometimes people don't break up because something bad happens. It's just two different paths of being realized and going in two different directions. So what's what we're saying here? It's something that you can't see now, about 6 or 7 months, you will see certain things that you'll understand what we're talking about, okay?
Why do I have to wait that long?
Well, it's one of those things, if you just enjoy the relationship, as you put it, and enjoy your life right now, 6 or 7 months is not that long. It's one of those things like they talked about before, stop and smell the roses. Well, it's a whole lot more deeper than that. Smell the roses, take in the color, the texture. If you get your finger pricked, it's the idea of taking the whole, you know, the whole thing in. If you sit there and looked at every day and looked at everything that crossed your path, everything's a start. And starts, as soon as you start realizing that, a whole lot more, you get your realizations a whole lot quicker. If you just take each day and look at everything that happens, even to the idea of realizing that you have hair on your toes. Because sometimes we just forget the small little things, and it's all important. So I understand it's the situation you're fixated on, but I'm also saying don't let this situation keep you from enjoying your life and what you already have, okay?
Okay.
And I really, with your situation, I would definitely recommend an hour session and do a past life. Alrighty? You there?
I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
So right now I'm going to sit there and say, well, your private readings for me is 937-838-6337. Barbara, if they want to get a hold of you and work with you, what's your information?
My website is www.barbaradelong.com.
Okay. And if you just want to go direct to my I can't even talk today, I swear. If you want to go straight to my website, it's actually psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. And right now, until the end of January, you can get me for an hour for $10 an hour and $5 for a half hour, okay? And whatever I do all kinds of things. Whatever you want to do in that session is fine with me. So get in there. And these past lives, you don't understand sometimes with the past lives, it's very important to issues that are happening with our own lives right now, to trace it back to the source. Really helps you realize a lot of things, but one thing it makes you realize that when you go to the past, those are just shadows of things that you did, that you were there. So you're just going back as an observer to look at something, because I do believe that in each lifetime we become more spiritual. So you're going to go back and look at these lifetimes as something that's, you're a whole lot more spiritually evolved, so you can look at it in a different way, and it helps you to, in certain situations, it helps you release it a whole lot quicker. To realize that since it doesn't exist anymore, why am I still letting it affect my life now? So it's definitely check that out. You there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, so I recommend you get one of those as quick as possible, because why I do, because of the part of the year we're in. We're going into a new year. Me personally, every time I've sat there and looked at this, the idea of 2011, I personally think it's going to be such a positive year. You guys are all going to stop thinking about the world ending in 2012, okay? All right?
Okay.
All right. So get in there as possible, because the list is getting longer, so I'm recommending you get in there as quick as possible. I never thought this was going to kick off as quick, as powerful as it has, but I'm just saying, get your butt in there. Just get this past life thing done. It's a very unique process. And what I do here with the situation is I use your angels that you work with to take you back where you need to go. So it's a very comfortable, it's just overwhelming with the warmth and the energy that goes along with it. So that's why I'm recommending it. So it's a situation like Barbara was talking about earlier. When we do these things, you know, we learn as much as you do. And I think sometimes that's why I like to just keep working, because I know it's going to be it's always a different experience with each person. Do you have any more questions for us there, Shannon?
Actually, just kind of curious if you even see us together, because I would like to have that face-to-face.
I personally think you're going to get that face-to-face. But, hello?
Hello?
Are you there? Okay, you know something? Technology is driving me nuts. Shannon?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, my little arrow just kind of draped over the thing, and it cut us off. I'm like, okay, that was not funny. we're just saying, okay? We got to get the other callers, too. It's one of those things, too. When you get a reading from me, I can answer any questions you want to. But right now, with the idea of you guys being together, and I do believe you're going to get that face-to-face. I almost know you're going to get the face-to-face. But I just want you to get that. Okay, let it go where it's going to go. And don't try to manipulate it. Just kind of like, you know, be like a leaf in the wind. Just go with the flow. Whatever happens in the situation of this face-to-face, take it for face value. What a way of putting it, right?
Yeah, I myself with him on New Year's. I haven't written the letter yet, because I didn't want to create drama.
Well, I'm just saying. Do what you got to do. But let it also play out like it's supposed to, and just, I don't know how else to put it, just let it happen. The answers you're looking for are a whole lot quicker. They're actually a whole lot quicker and closer than you think. So I'm just saying that to you. Wouldn't you agree, Barbara?
Yeah, and the reality is, you know, you're going to do what you're going to do, and things will play out. Just be patient, because the universe always has good things in store for us. It just doesn't always have them in store the way we expect them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was my really big question, actually, is if I should write that letter or if I should just wait. Because I have been sitting back waiting.
Well, sweetie's way out here.
Not waiting per se to hear from him, but I say that wasn't.
I'm just saying, with the situation, the answer to your question is you should have already written it.
I think she has.
Yes, she just hasn't put it on a piece of paper yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I have. I've written it. I just haven't heard it. Because I was going to send it through Facebook because I haven't spoken to him yet.
Okay. Well, that's what we're saying. Just, you know, go the direction you need to go to, but like she said, you've already written the letter, so you might as well just put it down where you got to do it and let it happen. Let it do what it's got to do, okay? And we got to go on to our next caller, but as soon as you got the phone, get this letter out of the way. You all ready?
Yeah.
I'll be looking forward to hearing from you, too, because I like to do that past life, because I think it's going to also answer a lot of questions for you, too, right?
Absolutely. Looking forward to clearing that up. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you for the call, and you have a happy new year.
You, too. Love and light to both of you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay. Well, that was just not weak.
That was past life stuff.
Well, I'm just saying, I feel like if actually doing a session with her would actually clear a lot of that up for her, too.
Well, lots of times when we don't understand situations, they really do have to do with past lives, and it's a matter of clearing up something that was started a long time ago, and just sort of clearing the air so that everybody can move forward.
I would definitely agree with that one. Okay, guys, we're getting to you as quick as we can. But some people's issues take a little bit longer, so just be patient with us. All right. Area code 610. You're on the air, and hi, how are you, and what's your name, and say hello to Barbara. Hello. Hello? Did you fall asleep? Hello? Okay.
Hello.
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 Did we wake you from your nap?
Is Barbara there?
I'm here.
Yeah, Barbara's right here.
Great. Okay.
What's your name?
I was wondering if she could, I don't know, let it rip.
Well,
oh, this is somebody I must have, this is somebody that's been on my show.
Okay. Oh, just ask what your name was, that's all.
Can I have your name?
Oh, yes, Marie.
Marie.
Marie. Donnie, this is what I do on my show. And when she said let it rip, I know she's been on the show.
Oh, okay.
Is it okay if I do it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Okay, what you got, Marie, here is a year in which there's going to be a lot of angelic energy around you. There's a lot of information coming in from all sorts of different sources, and you're opening up to a degree that you've never been open before. There's an element of going back to the books, and you're being sent back to the books to sort of remind yourself of the things that you already knew, but it feels like the entire year is going to be books almost falling in your lap. And you finding that there are new directions that you want to go in, you're going to find the law of attraction working for you, especially in the month of February. And February is going to be a month in which a lot of things come into the light for you. But the cards are really suggesting that perhaps it's really wise for you to just sit, be patient, and wait, because there's a lot of things that are unfolding that you really aren't going to have all the answers to until you get to probably the May time frame. March is a time where you have love, light, and laughter all around you. It's as though there's a celebration of some sort here going on within your life and within your energetic field, and it feels as though you've let go of a lot of emotionalities and there's a healing energy going on. You're going to hit April, and there's Phoenix rising energy here, so your spirit is going to almost reinvent itself, and you're going to find yourself walking away from an old life and an old practice and into the new light of a new dimension of your own self, your own spiritual evolution, healing again in the May time frame, evolving yourself into new directions, into new insights, allowing yourself to flow into some areas that you haven't been touching into in a very long time. A new continuity of energy here in July, and as you come into August, there's compensation for a lot of the things that you've done that you haven't gotten any acknowledgement for, but it feels as though the universe has seen that your giving has been of an unconditional nature in many, many, many different aspects of life, so that as you come into August, it's almost a time of a harvest evolving for you. As you come to September, there's an inner restlessness, so there's travel that's going to be going on. October has the element of things balancing out, balance and justice here. It's almost like you're signing legal papers as though you have made a major purchase of some sort. You're not being sued. November has the spotlight falling on you. You taking control of a lot of elements within your life and moving in new directions. By the time you get to this time next year, your house is absolutely in order and you have a tremendous amount of new material with which to work and bring you into a greater richness for the year that is to follow that. Okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Wow.
They know, anyone who listens to my shows, that if they tell me to just let it rip, I can just give them a year at a glance.
Okay.
So that's what that was.
Oh, no problem. I was just... let it rip. Okay, hold on. So, let's see... No, that's cool. You know, you have your own way of doing things, so I'll remember that next time.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, see, that's what I'm saying. I push a button and it just looks at me like, what?
I know. They really make you feel embarrassed about having clickitis almost.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Area code 315. Welcome to the show. And what's your name?
Hello. My name is Christine.
Christine, let me ask you a question. Where are you calling from?
New York.
New York. Get a lot of people calling from New York. I don't know why, but say your name one more time.
Christine.
Uh huh. Say hi to Barbara.
Hello, Barbara.
Hi, Christine.
And you have a couple questions.
Well, I'm called in to see, what do you see for me in 2011? I'm going through a lot of financial difficulties and trying to get a book published. And
trying to get a what?
My book published, and mm-hmm. it's financial chaos.
Okay. And one thing I pick up the most really quickly is you guys quit saying try.
Excuse me?
The one word you have to take out of your vocabulary is try.
Okay.
You keep saying you're going to try to do something, and I keep for some reason I keep it resonates. And I keep feeling that you do that a lot. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. We're going to try to get by. We're trying to get by. And I'm trying to go. Every time you keep saying try, it's almost. I mean, I just feel like it's setting yourself up for failure. And you don't want to be that. And I want you to be as successful as you can. So therefore, take the word try and change it to something else. If not success itself, I'm going to succeed at what I'm doing right this minute. And we're going to be happy. And I'm going to love exactly the way my life is. And it's just going to get better. So I'm just saying, you know, that's another thing of gratitude and acknowledging that you do have a life and you're still breathing. So therefore, I'd be grateful that you actually have. And you have the tools. You are very gifted, too. So therefore, there's no reason to say try. Just go do it, okay?
Yes.
Because I feel like with the situation with your finances, it's just simply a change in your thinking and things are going to turn around. And I feel like you might not really... I do feel like you're going to see some notices and some changes in January. And you have a tendency to be impatient. So these little steps, don't get impatient about those. These are just little signs that you are going in the right direction. So keep doing what you're doing. And it's just like going into the ocean. You know, first your feet are wet, and but the more you proceed to go into it, it gets a little deeper and deeper and deeper, and you get to a point where you're really comfortable with it. And that's where you need to get to. And you can be that way for a very long time. I'm just saying, you know, for some reason I feel like in the past we've actually done the opposite and just dove right in and got overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So, that's what I'm saying, proceed to go. But see, when I sit here and say proceed, when it gets to where you feel comfortable, it's just telling you that sometimes in situations, you're looking out at the water and thinking about things, and your mind is elsewhere, and then the next thing you know, you realize you're out too far, okay? So it's like a focus point, focusing on what's going on and being comfortable. You also have to determine what that means to you as well. I'm not using someone else's example of what comfort means. This throws your focus off. I don't know, I keep getting a male president who thinks he knows everything. Does that ring a bell with you?
Yeah. Wow.
So don't listen to him. Okay, and the reason I say that way, he has a vision for his life. And
right.
So do you. Okay? And you need to stick to your vision because that's what you know and that's how your life is supposed to play out. I mean, if you want to use a prime example that I've used before, is looking at Jesus' life, okay? He knew exactly what he was going to do when he got here. He knew exactly how it was going to play out. Sure, there was a couple of times he asked God, do I really need to do this? He knew what he was going into. But he still did it anyway. He knew that was the right course, that was the right action. He didn't let the idea of I'm going to get beat keep him from his goal, because he knew on the other side of what was going to happen, which was a very positive thing. And that's what we have here with you, focusing on your life. Sure, you're going to go through a couple of things that you're not too comfortable with, and I'm also feeling like this guy that you're talking about, God, who is he? I keep getting husband.
No, business partner, believe it or not.
Well, he acts like your husband. that's the energy he's coming off with. So I'm just saying, you know, he's had a lot of successes in his life, and he should actually celebrate those successes. But at the same time, the examples of how he got there are not going to help you get there. You've got to do that on your own, and you got to find your own way.
Yeah.
Just like he did, and for some reason he likes to basically deter you from that and say this is the best way to go, and. No, the best way to go is where you feel like it should be. So that could be a problem where you might have to make a decision about that, distancing yourself from him in favor of the goal that you're trying to attain here. Because I just feel like he has a tendency to still interfere with that. And I feel like he's going to do at least... I keep getting a couple times, but it might actually be a little bit more than that. But I definitely see a really positive outcome, and I feel like all the things that you've been really focusing on and working on are all going to basically come to pass. And I keep getting February, not January. More seeing really good things happen in February. What do you think, Barbara?
I Have you considered self-publishing?
Well, I've been checking into it, and the cheapest I've found was $600 or $700.
Keep going.
Okay, you know what you should do? My website is BarbaraDeLong.com.
Okay, so...
And contact me through my website, and I will give you some information about self-publishing that will not cost that much money.
Okay.
My feeling was you were looking in the wrong place.
Okay.
Because it should be only around $250.
Wow. Oh, okay. Because I really feel like I know, I found out what my life calling is.
Mm-hmm.
Is to really get out and deliver a message to people, you know, how to empower their life. And I feel I'm good at what I do. It's just that bringing out, you know, that confidence and to actually step out and do it. It's like, ugh.
Right.
Absolutely.
Love it.
And what you've got going on here is, I mean, self-publishing is absolutely the way for you to go because it feels you have a platform to market from. And what you've got is something of a spiritual nature so that something like that literally sells itself once you put it out there. It's a time of synthesizing. It's a time of pulling things together. I certainly... is your business partner involved in the book?
No.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, you say good.
So what you've got here is having it feels as though people have said, I doubt it to you so much, you're beginning to believe it.
Exactly.
And, you know, no, I'm not going to use that, but, you know, just tell them what to do with themselves because it's your life.
Yeah,
and they only say I doubt it because they don't believe they could do it.
Yeah, it's the same thing with this guy you're talking about. I'm glad he's not a part of this book. But
no,
he's
not.
Well, the one thing I keep picking up on this, too, is in order to get this message out, you also have to reflect what you're trying to give out.
Yes.
So you got to live this. So therefore, when I was saying before in the first of the year, there's some hard decisions to make. One of them is this guy. I mean, it's like
okay.
A business partner, but I also feel like he's not a business partner for very long. I mean, I'm just saying the idea of carrying business, you have to work with somebody who is on the same level as you are and is a supportive. He's not supportive in the sense that he should be. He's always being supportive when it benefits him, but not being supportive when it doesn't. And trying to come off like he still is being supportive. I know that's the way it comes off to me.
I understand what you're saying.
So with the situation at hand, there's these things that you feel too that I'm kind of surprised that he's still a business partner. Because,
well,
do you need somebody to work with sometimes? I feel like you just do fine on your own.
Yeah, I feel that way too. I feel that way. I just have to really, really. Oh,
yeah, I'm tired too.
Get over my I mean really, really deep, you know, get into my inner self and pull out that greatness because it's there. I know it is.
Then pull it out. Just do it. Don't, because you got people around you that keep telling you can't do it. Okay,
well, you also have the the archaic philosophy that you have to have a man working with you in order to be successful.
Exactly.
It's not the case.
I don't. No, I hope not. I don't think.
Well,
so.
somehow this person has convinced you that they are essential to your success.
Does he have more experience than you do?
No.
Okay, then let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Why is he your business partner? Good question, right?
Well, you know, the reason, okay, I'll tell you, honestly, the reason is because
he's the one
that encouraged me to actually go ahead and start living my dream.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
I was going to say that he may have encouraged you to go get your dream, but at the same time, I also feel like he's threatened by it. I think the reason it is because he can also see what's going to happen. I think you're going to, and let's put it this way, it's perception, but in his mind, he feels like you're going to outdo him.
Well, and she will.
Because, yes, the talent here is extraordinary. So that's what I'm saying, just pull it out and just do it. Because it feels like you're keeping it inside because you're scared of intimidation. You're scared of intimidating other people. Almost like, I'll do it like this. I could trace you back to an Atlantean where you're scared of power because of what it did to you the first time. So you're kind of like, okay, I'm this powerful person, I'm this great person, and I just want to help and send this message. But at the same time, there's this little fear that you're scared you might turn into something you don't like. Actually, you are going to turn into something different than you are now. But you're going to like that person.
Wow, that's amazing. Because that's what I feel. Wow.
So, see, that's what I was telling you, that's what we always talk about. You think past lives is kind of like, you know, like a little, I guess, a little fun thing to do. But they're very helpful. So you can see the realization you just got from the wine.
Yes.
You know, just feel fear of success. It goes with a lot of us, but if you trace the source back, you know, past lives themselves, all of us come from somewhere.
Yeah.
There's an origin somewhere, and sometimes those origins have a tendency they can either hinder or they can enhance. And in this situation, it's another thing. I definitely wouldn't give that away, that fear itself, but it would propel you forward, and you're going to see that fear is a strength, and it won't hold you back anymore. And I do believe that this man that you're talking about was somebody you've been with before. In many lifetimes, I've encouraging you, but also being jealous of your success. So I feel like in this situation, I would definitely look at this as a learning experience of this time of actually making the right move and severing ties and let him go where he's got to go and you go where you got to go.
Okay. But how do you actually, okay, if it is something that I'm carrying in this lifetime with me, okay, the fear, I mean, how do you really, really just take and get out of it? I mean...
You ever heard the word let go?
Huh?
It's simple,
let go?
It's simple as the word let go. We make it more difficult than it really is. And you just got to sit back and go, do you really need it? It's like the realization with your partner. There are certain things that it's hard to look at sometimes, of having to let go of certain things and certain people. But it seems like you have no problem with other situations of physical of letting go of certain people. But when it comes to your own issues, you don't do the same thing. So just take the same approach that you would with severing ties with this guy or people that you've done before in the past and do the same thing with your fear. But like I said before, with the fear that I was describing to you, it's not the idea of actually letting it go per se, but letting it manifest into a strength of yours, of motivation to lift yourself and your greatness out. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
How about you, Barbara?
Well, I agree with you. I think that fear of success because life changes is something that happens to all of us, but change is a part of our reality. And unless change happens and we grow, we never get to where we're supposed to be. I don't... you know, letting go of fear is a very hard thing to do. There's a book out there called The Dragon Doesn't Live Here Anymore that you might want to go find and check out. It talks about, you know, once you make a pet of whatever it is that's scaring you, it no longer terrorizes you.
Okay.
Seriously.
Okay.
And I actually know one case in particular where an 8-year-old girl was scared of closets, and they could never figure out why, because she had never been locked in a closet. There was no reason for it. And they traced her back to when she was alive in the 1800s, and she actually got buried. She was buried in the coffin, alive.
Wow.
That was a hard one to deal with, but see, once she went back and realized what it was about and realized it doesn't exist anymore,
mm-hmm.
she has no fear of closets or being enclosed anymore. So those are really things of helping you let go of things that you have to let go of, or turning them, like I said before, into strengths.
So you can really find that out?
Yes.
What causes fear?
That's why I've been recommending these past life readings. It's not because of any kind of generation of any kind of income or just business. It's the idea these are very important, and they're really strong teaching tools. I mean, like I said before, I get really excited about it because I've actually learned a lot from taking people back and helping them to progress back. That actually, it was a blessing in my own life at the time, and I've done many of these. And it's actually a progression, too. My techniques have actually gotten more and more fluent, and I like it when it does that because it's a constant progression, which you get to take advantage of. For, just like I said before, it was just a simple, right now I made it very easy for everybody until the end of January, which is just $10 for a nice session. I always recommend you get at least 2 sessions, which is still only $20.
Mm-hmm.
And be amazed exactly what you learn in these situations.
Yeah,
I'm very nice, and I'm also very nice about these things. You pay for a session, and we have a problem with just getting you to that point of relaxation, and you just don't quite get there. We will get you there. So, you know, if it takes more than a 2-hour session, and I feel like I'm going to say to be lenient, okay? Because my biggest goal here is the ideal of finding out that information, because I know how it's going to really have an impact on your life. So give me a call. We'll do one of those things for you. It'll be great, and you'll see exactly for yourself. It really, I mean, the experience itself. We make it as enjoyable as possible. Nothing. When we get you there, we have you release it. We also work with you to heal it too. So we work with angels.
Oh, okay.
So your angels will actually be the ones that will be taking you back to these past lives.
Wow. Okay. Can you give me the number?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It's 937 838 6337.
Okay,
for everybody else who didn't catch that, it's 937 838 6337. Or else you can contact me on my website, which is psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. Which, if you go to my show page here, it's right there in the profile part to the right. You just click on that whole thing, and it's like 3 clicks, and you're in there, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right, thank you.
And thank you. And Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too. And thank you for the call.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, I honestly don't. I was thinking about something else to say, and I have no idea. I went blank for a minute. Barbara, are you there?
It happens, it happens. Yes, I'm here.
Actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think Desiree's back with us. Let's find out.
Right? Cool.
Just click it about 3,000 times, and maybe we actually might get it. All right.
Yeah, I'm back.
All right. Desiree, how are you?
I'm good.
Out. What happened?
She
mailed the letter.
I had a reading that came through at the token. I'm here at the store here.
Oh, okay.
So I was called away, but it was a good session here. So I'm back to help out.
All right, cool. Let's go into another caller. This has been pretty interesting too, because I mean I think it's falling right in the category of what we're trying to do for the show as well. People are trying to find direction and where to start, so. Wouldn't you agree, Barbara?
Absolutely.
It's kind of amazing. I love this stuff. It actually gives me a chance too to explain to everybody, because we're bringing up past lives with a couple of callers, that when you start going back to certain points and understanding why you do certain things, and then they're like really strong tools to use. So it's a continuous thing. I've actually had a couple of clients actually get through 3 of these things, just to keep going back on different past lives. Let's see. I'm trying to do this thing where I can push the button. Push the button. There we go. Area code 301. You're calling from Maryland, aren't you?
Yes. Hi. How are you?
I'm doing good. I recognize that area code. Great to live there.
I'm doing well. I'm enjoying your show. Very, very interesting.
Thank you. Say hello to Barbara and say hello to Desiree. Adored Angel. That's my co-host. Say hi to everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Okay, there we go.
I'm still here.
Okay, what's your name?
I'm Barb. Barbara.
You're Barbara too?
Yes.
Okay, great. Barbara.
And I am going to take advantage of your past life regressions sessions. That's very generous of you, and I intend to take advantage of that.
Okay, it's great. I just love those things. They're just so eye-opening. Let's put that away. They're so eye-opening and educational. It's amazing.
Oh, definitely. I feel like I'm stuck, and you know, I really want to move on, but I'm stuck. I have a question, and I'm hoping maybe you'll have some insight.
Okay.
The probate court has been probating my mother's will for 4 years. And the judge has forced me into joint ownership, property ownership with my siblings, who are very toxic. And I need to sever the ties with my sisters for my emotional well-being and also my physical health. And I don't understand this. I'm just wondering if something good is going to come out of this, or if I need to walk away and forfeit my inheritance.
That's interesting. It really is, because I mean, when I sit here and focus on the whole thing, it's the idea of, I guess it'd be one of those things of focusing on the outcome.
It's been a really, really tough process. It's not. I didn't go into this for the money.
Uh-huh.
I went in expecting, you know, fairness under the law, and you know, my mother's wishes to be honored. And I've been fighting through the whole process, and I'm up against a wall. Everybody is against me, and I have truth and you know, truth on my side. And I'm trying to do the right thing for my mother, but nobody cares about her rights.
She's passed on, right?
Yes. And there's an issue of fraud that I tried to expose, and I have been just beaten up unbelievably, because they're trying to silence me.
Okay, let me ask you a question real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting a lot of guidance from your mother, too?
I don't feel any guidance at all from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I am in a constant state of just panic all the time. It's like fight or flight, because I'm trying to, you know, bring this to a resolution, a fair resolution. And
no, I'm just saying with the situation here, what I'm picking up is you're getting guidance from your mother, but
okay.
You're also caught up in the situation. But you're talking about blocking. Okay, you're blocked. You're like you're. That's one word I heard from you. Is blockage.
Yes.
And I just feel like that's in this situation. Does anybody hear this stuff?
Yeah.
I can hear it too.
Yeah, I'm just saying with your situation, you need to do a lot of cleansing, because you are messing with the. I feel your energy is coming through of this. I mean, seriously,
I'm normally a really nice person. But I'm kind of stressed out. I do have a computer on, which is causing static, and I'm gonna turn it off.
Okay, consider looking at you going, you're causing at one time. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but I'm not saying you're not a nice person. I'm saying you're around a lot of lawyers.
Actually, I don't have a lawyer yet. I'm trying to find one. I've been trying to do this on my own.
Have you gone to any court or anybody? I mean, have you been around any kind of lawyers at all?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You don't have to be in this. sometimes people don't realize you don't have to physically have a relationship with these lawyers.
Uh-huh.
They can still cause chaos because we've got a lot of people around you, at least three lawyers I can pick up right now, who do nothing but manipulate the system the way they want it.
They are. They are manipulating it.
Right. So I'm saying just because you're not associated with them doesn't mean they're not having an influence on you because you've already brought your vibrational status down, so therefore you're going to take all that in. Because
uh-huh.
I'm having a hard time with this. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but
okay. I'm hearing a lot of interference too. I got to ask you: does this inheritance, will it make a difference in your life? Is it that large an amount of money?
It's not a huge amount of money. But what I'm trying to do is stop. I've got a brother who is also being frauded, and he needs the money. He's living in a camper in the woods with no running water. So I'm really trying to fight for, you know, for justice. So he can move on with his life, too.
Who's trying to take the money?
Three sisters.
I'm a little bit confused on the whole thing. Yes.
There's a slip-and-fall lawyer involved who drew up my mother's will and trust.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very perverted, it's a horribly tragic situation. My mother's last days were a living hell
mm-hmm.
because of the greed.
Okay. In a situation like this, the only people that win are the lawyers.
Oh, I understand that.
And the best thing for you to do, and your brother, is to walk away.
Because other opportunities are going to come along, he's going to have the money to get himself out of the camper.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I must tell you, to get on with your life, to turn around and walk away, is the wisest thing that you can do.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, with the situation... It's not money per se. I just feel
No, what it is I've got a sister that's mentally ill, and
a headache.
And she has a vendetta against both of us. So I really feel like I need the money to pay lawyers to protect me on another area where she's, you know, doing malicious false reporting. She's literally destroying my life.
That's right.
I mean, this is not, you know, about I could walk away from the money. I've
mm-hmm.
considered it many times, but I'm in a dilemma because I need the money. She is literally destroying my reputation and my life. I mean, she's out of control.
But you know, the universe there is a balance,
mm-hmm.
and if you can step back and step away. The universe will take care of it. But it's a matter of I understand you feel you need to defend yourself.
Yeah.
But if somebody, and it feels as though she is out of control.
Oh, she is. She is a psychopath, sociopath. I mean, this is serious.
If you can back away and let go, and I mean totally let go.
Yeah, yeah.
She'll hang herself.
Yeah.
But you in circumstances like this, fighting and going to lawyers and all of that is going to emotionally drain you to the point where your health will start to suffer.
Right.
And, you know, before you know, if you step back and let people do their thing, the truth will out. I mean, the universe does balance these things out. It really and truly does. But you have to get out of the way of the universe. And right now you're getting in the way of the universe. You're getting in the way of justice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking legal justice. I'm talking cosmic justice.
Yeah. Okay. It's hard because I think I'm not the only one that believes it, that she attempted to poison my brother. I mean, you know, so it's hard for me to just, you know, walk away because... You know, I'm trying to protect him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's. I've been praying a lot, and I've been, you know, begging for, you know, for help from heaven because it's, you know, as I said, if it was just a matter of walking away from the money, I can do that easily.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, I'm worried about my brother. You know.
Well, you know, he's chosen a pathway.
Yeah.
And. you know, we can't always agree with the pathway that our siblings or our children choose, but it is their pathway, it is their journey.
Yeah.
And it feels to me as though he doesn't really need to be there, but he's there by choice.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
He could have gone somewhere else and started a life again, and he chose to not.
Uh-huh.
So he's not there because someone is holding a gun to his head. He's there because this is his choice. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be your choice and it wouldn't be my choice, but for some reason he needs this experience. And you know, you can't help another person in their own journey. You can't change the circumstances that they have to experience in order to evolve and grow. But as far as your sister goes, get out of her way. Because as soon as you get out of her way, the universe will come slamming down on her.
Okay.
Yeah, Barbara, do you also have headaches?
Yeah.
You will after this call. not normally, no. But I never had any health issues per se. But I really have a serious anxiety disorder because she scares me.
Mm-hmm. Get out of her way.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I guess I've got to just put my hands up and say, you know, Lord, this is it. If my brother's meant to, you know. She's going to poison him, let it be, and let's get it over with.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Trust me, the universe is beautiful in the way it meets out justice. It truly is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it always works out the way it's supposed to, and you'll see in the situation of walking away, you know, the idea you're talking about, sometimes we have a tendency to put ourselves in the way of what really needs to be done. So just like you said before, you need to let go of this.
Mm-hmm.
And she's gone. Well, Barbara, I hope you are still listening, because you're not there anymore. Okay. But definitely take that information and walk away. If you're going to still stick yourself in that situation, at least focus on the outcome that you'd like to see.
Well, you know, when people try to protect other people, it's taking on the responsibility for their lifetime when you get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So you make your life a greater struggle, and you almost guarantee that they will have the same lesson handed them, only more difficultly down the road.
I guess it's one of those situations where you start taking on the responsibility of other people. Instead of doing what you know you need to do, you're hindering everything from happening the way it's supposed to. Just correct the path and say, okay, you're right. The son is the son. The brother is there. And plus the poisoning, I do believe that she did poison the guy, but by making the choice he did, we also have to understand that by making these choices, we put ourselves in harm's way by the choice we made, not by circumstances from somebody else doing something to them. If they wouldn't have never taken that path in the first place, it would never have happened. Because, I mean, I was sitting here listening to a person that probably everybody's heard about, Joyce Myers, and she was sitting there talking about before she started her ministry. God came to her and said, it's time to start your ministry. And she's like, no, I'm not ready. And so she stayed in St. Louis for another year, and all these bad things started happening to her. So she was like, hey, God, you know, what's up with this? You know, what did I do wrong? He goes, well, Joyce, it's like this. If you would have left a year ago, these wouldn't be happening. You know, as simple as that. But the good news is, you realize that, and you can change it right this minute. So what are you going to do? It's time to go. It's time to, your destiny is calling. So do it. And sometimes in situations, it's the lack of action, you know? Instead of doing all this crazy stuff, you know, let the universe, because the universe seems like, if you sit here and, like I've always said, I'd rather listen to the universe and spirits and the angels before I listen to the humans. Which is also meaning listening to your human side as well. And say, okay, this, what's the good thing here? And then we sit there and walk. And everything always seems to get better. When we let that ego take over and do things, that's when we get ourselves in trouble.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to sit here and try to get this one here because it keeps jumping around. Here we go. Yeah, Desiree.
Yes.
I was just saying, do you have anything you want to add to this? I'm going to let a caller on here, but you can...
Well, I just was saying, I can feel the fear
in her voice regarding another sibling, and I was thinking to myself, all this power that she was giving to this person, that she was giving away, and she really could be triumphant in owning her own power, and all she's been doing is she's been obsessing about it, and I really agree about her just stepping away. That would be the best thing for her.
Yeah, buddy. Well, let's take a couple more questions. Area code 561, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yes, how are you? What's your name?
Oh, I was just listening. It's Stacy.
Oh, okay.
But well, I can talk to you. I was listening in, but...
Okay, if you want to go back to listening mode, that's fine. I mean...
No, I can talk to you. You put me out of my listening.
So
Stacy, I have to, before you get into this call, I have to get off now, but I want to thank you so much for having me on. This has been such a delight.
Well, thank you for joining us today. It was really a joy having you here. So anytime you want to come back, you're more than welcome. Just pop in if you want to. I recognize your number.
Okay. I certainly will. And Desiree, it was a pleasure meeting you, too.
Oh, thank you so much. You're a wealth of information.
Ah, thank you.
But, yeah, it's always great having you on the show because I always learn so much, too. So that's I would love to have you come back, okay?
Anytime.
All righty. You have a great
Thanks
night.
A lot.
Happy New Year.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Happy New Year.
Okay, Stacy, what I'm going to sit there and say to you is...
Huh?
Do you... If you... I was going to go get me... Go take a cut. Why I pulled you out real quickly was because actually you're the 10th caller and you've actually won a 45-minute reading for free.
Wow! My lucky day. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. What I was going to say was I'm going to go take some more calls and stuff. And then you can call me after the show, and we'll do that reading for you, okay?
All right, sure.
You can keep. I'll put you back on listening. I love it when you listen.
Okay. All
but
right.
But I just feel like we can take advantage of that 45-minute reading. We can find out some stuff for you. All right.
All right. Definitely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. I've been wanting to do that for 2 days.
Hmm.
Okay. Let's go on. All right, area code 253. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi, it's Holly from Seattle. I called yesterday and I had to hang up.
Holly, how are you?
Yeah, good. I'm just wondering when you see us moving to Redlands, California?
Uh-huh.
Do you have any time frame?
When do I see you moving to Redlands, California? Yes, I do see you moving there. I got a headache.
Uh-oh.
No, that was just that one reading we were doing. She had so much static and energy coming through there. And I just feel like there was so much contact with so many negative people. So it was just and she's taking it all on. That's one of, I think, the reason why we asked her to move on.
Yeah.
So just give me a couple. I'm just sitting here. I just have to separate and part the ways, okay? That's what I'm saying. Sometimes it's just the idea of sorting things out and getting the information because a lot of people are wanting a lot of things, and sometimes you got to make sure that that doesn't overwhelm you. So with the situation you're talking about, I keep getting, realistically, moving is quick, really, but September is the month I keep getting up, okay? So there's a lot of things falling in place, but September keeps coming up very strongly.
Okay.
I feel like that's a really good time, too, because... Like I said before, a lot of things have to fall into place for you get to that point. There are certain things about you and your husband that need to sit down and communicate and talk about a lot, too, as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we're talking about happening after the first of the year. If not, what's the situation where there's going to be opportunities before that, too? And I mean, it's just like sitting down and talking and opening up for the first time that you have, like you haven't opened up in a long time.
Oh.
Okay, so we get a lot of drinking with that. So, that make sense any to you?
Yeah. Can I ask one more quick one? Or is it you need to move on?
Well, actually, you can ask the question, but you don't have to ask it quickly.
My stepson is 9 years old, and he can speak with the spirits and his spirit guide and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been having some really bad dreams of his mother coming and kidnapping him in the night in different scenarios each time.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, like, he's reading her thoughts or something, and I just want to make sure, is she not going to act on that? Are we going to have, like, serious problems with...
Well, sometimes in situations you got to realize things about psychics and stuff like that, when impressions you're picking up. Like you said before, he's picking up thoughts that she has.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, the situation, what you need to do is you also need to get with someone like me or someone that you trust, and it's like getting together and working with him so he can actually distinguish between the two. He's at the right age where he knows exactly what's going on, but at the same time, he's still letting it bother him physically. If he would, it's just the idea of learning some techniques. And this might sound crazy to a lot of people, but the idea of meditating should start as soon as possible.
Oh, okay.
The more that you do that, the more a person can settle their mind, the more they can be relaxed, but they also don't get themselves into situations like compromise. 9 out of 10 times, the reason we compromise is because of what the world tells us. You know, like, well, I got to pay this bill. So you take on a job that you know you shouldn't take on, and then another job comes through that you do want, but you're too preoccupied with the one you got, you miss it. So it's just one of those things of actually opening up a new world to him. Okay, it's not per se of actually taking it any further than that,
mm-hmm.
which I think he will as he gets more into his 30s and 40s. But as he goes, but it's also going to be more, he's going to be more productive in his younger age of how he interacts with everybody else and understanding the message that he's picking up. It's information so he can deal with people, interact. Because you don't have to tell anybody what he does or what he is. Believe me, you don't want to do that in certain situations.
No.
I was working in a freaking factory when I was in Tennessee, and I just happened to drop the hint that I thought it'd be cool to say, hey, guys, if you ever want to get any psychic greetings from me, I do psychic work out of my home and stuff. And next thing I know, I just got people badgering me all the time. Okay? It's constantly asking questions and saying, you know, it finally came to the point where I just said, hey, guys, this is the way it is. Today, I'm a freaking assembly line worker. If you want to ask any questions or anything like that, you can call me at my phone number or you can get me before I leave. But don't bug me while I'm working because I'm here for a reason. Things are slow. I need money, okay? So I wouldn't be here if I didn't have to be here. So that's the thing of being able to be that strong to say, okay, guys, leave me the F alone. That's just the way it's got to be sometimes because some people just don't do that. Or to be in a situation like I was. There's another one really quick. Just take it in. That you're in a situation and people are asking you tons of questions. I got up and said, before I go any further, someone's going to have to hand me a $20 bill. Okay, I get paid for doing this, but what I was doing was I was actually trying to hope they would stop everything because it was being so overwhelming because everybody was just hitting me with everything at one time.
Yeah.
So it was a way of helping them understand, to have some consideration that, yeah, it can be overwhelming sometimes because I'm hitting everybody's energy, not just one or two. Where I can actually prepare myself for it. So the younger you are, and the younger you are when you learn these techniques, it just enhances your life throughout your whole life, and you'll start doing stuff like this. You've heard people do this before. And when you've got a situation like that you do where you're aware of it, it's a whole lot easier to work with you and to work with him. But I also feel like his dad needs a lot of work too.
His dad?
His dad.
He believes, but he doesn't believe 100% like we do.
I know, but see, the point is, the reason we have so much resistance here, when I was sitting talking before, when we talk about past lives, and I think I might have suggested to you and him getting a past life, or even at least working with both of you, because I feel like he needs a lot of work to understand it, but it's one of those past life regressions that would actually get him back to the point of understanding why he doesn't want to deal with it. And I also feel like, give you a little preview, okay?
Yeah.
I feel like he was a Charmin, more of a, I can't, I'm trying to figure out how to put this in perspective because it was like not witch doctor or a shaman, but something in the same realm. But it's more of like the 13, 1400s. So we're talking about kings and queens and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where he actually lost his head.
Oh, wow.
Okay, but at that time he was a very religious man. But he also was very, very much into prophecy, okay?
Uh-huh.
And back in those days, if you were right, you could lose your head, too.
Uh-huh.
They were looking at you with somebody going, how would he know that? Not really thinking about, okay, we shouldn't do that. It was more, how'd you do that, you know? And then bad things would happen because they didn't listen. So therefore, who are they going to blame? They're going to blame themselves for making the mistake. It was him. So we have a, because when I got the picture with him, I actually got the noise too. So it's like a sword or actually one of these freaking stupid axes. Like, I can't remember what they call them, sorry.
Yes,
but it's just,
yeah, the sword. Oh, it's sickle.
Right, and he lost his head. So he has a tendency that he's a person who does believe very firmly, but there's also certain fears that he doesn't acknowledge it to everybody. And in this situation, his son, it realistically is like a fourth or fifth generation psychic.
Oh.
So, you know, he's got this, just because people don't acknowledge their powers doesn't mean they have them or they don't have them. In this situation, they have them, but they don't acknowledge them. And believe me, I got a daughter who's very gifted this way too. She's my oldest daughter. But she dismisses it because it has a tendency to put you in certain realms where people don't, they're prejudiced, just put it that way.
Yeah.
And she's around a lot of religious people, so therefore what she does is she denounces her gift, so therefore she don't have to deal with them anymore.
Yeah.
So we have that whole thing going on. That's why I suggested working with you. It's going to be like 3 or 4 sessions.
Uh-huh.
So working with him and helping your husband understand what his son has is not nightmares. They're actual visions of somebody contemplating doing something. I don't think she's going to go through with it, but she has a tendency to have a racing mind. So
yeah,
you're going to be up a lot of things, and she's also projecting. So this is what we have sometimes with problems with situations like this, too, because of a woman who's actually his mother, but she's also a psychic, too, and she's not aware of that. So she has a lot of thoughts and things that she's subjecting her son to, that if she was a person, would he sit down and get some help working with somebody who could help her understand what she's got going on, then she would quit impressing this on her son.
So she's a psychic too?
Yeah. Some people say she's psycho, but you know, come on, let's quit doing that.
Well, she's got serious drug problem and alcohol.
She does, but see, I want you to do me one thing. I know a lot of people that do this kind of work that if you trace down the history of them, you'll find that they had drug problems, drinking problems, because they were trying to suppress those voices they were hearing, not realizing it was their guidance. And they just got tired of hearing it, so they came up with certain ways. I take too many pills, the voices stop. I drink too much, the pills stop. Yeah, seriously. I mean, there's people who also are fat and heavy. And when you trace back to them, too, you'll find out that they hear voices. And when they eat food, the voices stop. So they're always looking for ways to stop that. And when they finally came into their true selves and realized that's a part of them, the abuse disappeared. So I'm just saying, with the situation, before we get into a situation where we have a son who has some kind of drinking problem at 13, it's best to deal with this situation and get everybody involved so we can all learn how to work with it and see that it's a gift, not a burden.
Yeah.
What do you think, Desiree?
Well, I think that if possibly look online for some indigo organizations with children, that would help with crystal children. I would look into that so that he could basically be with other kids that are experiencing what he is experiencing. This way he won't feel like he's an oddball. I think that's really important right now, and I would do that if he could. Because the cards that I'm coming up with are to look deeper into the situation. Don't compromise on this at all, because it's detrimental to his psyche and how he's going to be growing up. It is a learning experience for all three of you or the family.
Uh-huh.
Definitely a move will be coming in, as you had asked in the beginning. Have faith in it. Have love around it, and I don't know if he is musically inclined for some reason, but I keep picking up music.
Yeah.
Surround him with a lot of music that will help him. And just so already know that there is blessings coming and that they are around you. And as long as you ask, believe, surrender, and just I just say in gratitude for whatever you're going through, take one step at a time and don't point fingers at anybody regarding what's happening. This has to be done in unity. It takes a lot of time with it, but definitely comfort him and know, tell him, you know what, sweetheart, everything's fine, and let's get the angels coming in. You know, ask the angels around him to protect him at night with white light, and just make sure that he knows that he has help around him no matter if spiritual world or from the material world, that there is help for him and there's love for him. Keep telling him about that he's loved. He needs to really hear that and really embrace him physically and emotionally.
Okay.
I hope that helps you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm writing it down.
The thing I would add to that is the idea of also working with him by yourself as well, 101, 303. Even somehow the situation, this would probably be something down the road of actually getting the mother involved, because it's the idea of that's the person he's actually picking these things up from, to understand the connection between the two of them. So even with the drug problem that she has, she still loves her son.
Yeah.
It's a very intense situation, and what I was saying was you can check on some organizations around you. But like I said, this is one of the things I've actually started working more with, is working with children in these situations, but also helping the parents as well, so they could also work together. But sometimes the parents look at the situation and not really knowing which way to proceed. And then you have a child, and sometimes these parents have a tendency to look at the child as a guidance. Now, there are certain gifted people in those situations where the child can actually guide their parents through the process, but some of them are not. It's something that needs to be worked on, and he's just not a person that's at that level. He's got it, he knows of it, and he's the dreams, because they're just dreams, and he's actually picking up what she's thinking, what she wants to do. But we also have a person here who has a drug problem, so these thoughts are sporadic and they're really powerful. So he's picking up more than just, it's like chaos. He's picking up everything that she's picking up, and he's seeing him as a nightmare when he's actually getting an insight to his mother on what she's going through. And even to the point that she's trying to suppress. She's suppressing a lot of things. And I feel like she knows a lot of things that are going on. And it's like I said before, it's something, one of those things that you probably have to do further down the road. But it's just the idea of trying to get everybody involved. This is a situation that people don't understand it. You know, people talk about why you deal with the wife for, because she's a problem, not realizing that you could be part of the solution in that situation. But we always just assume, and we shouldn't do that. We should sit there and look at the guidance for what it is, because it's like we're trying to create this loving environment, okay? So you can't sit there and say, you know, to the son, we love you, and then at the same time you have hostility going toward her. He's going to be confused by that.
Yeah.
So you want to sit there and balance it all out and understand. Because, I mean, I've had this a couple times with a couple people. I was talking with a couple guys who come to do the readings, and they're talking about their girlfriends or their wives or whores, because they sleep with everybody. I said, well, we also have to find out why they do that. They're looking for something. There's a need. And I said, once you find that source, then it's easier to come up with a solution of what's going on. And if they refuse, they don't want to work with you, that's fine, too. I'm just saying the idea of putting yourself in a situation of understanding and not being critical. Because actually, you're still being judgmental. She's a whore, instead of she has a sexual addiction. So, you know, it's like trying to figure that out instead of just labeling it. Like we were talking about before, when you label it, it just puts limitations on actually finding the truth. And that's what we're trying to do here. So this situation here, like I said before, if you can find someone around you, cool. If you can't, I'd really like to work with you because of the father. I feel like the father's actually a key here of success. Because I feel like his psychic abilities are more powerful than everybody involved here.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we're also going to tap into yours as well.
Wow.
So see how I'm talking about past life regressions and these readings I'm talking about are very strong tools, not just for the person getting the reading. Sometimes it's the idea of bringing a lot of other things out too. And we work with angels. I was telling the other person about what the process is we work with archangels. We've got Archangel Raphael and Archangel Michael. And sometimes we have Archangel Gabriel with us. And I think the reason we do that is because that's one of my connections. And it's just the idea of easing you back to a past life. You focus on like this situation here. It's like focusing on why he has this closed-mindedness. And then we take, then the angels would guide him back to that point. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And then once we get there, it's also understanding that once you get there, what you're seeing is the shadows of the past. So it can't hurt you. And you're just, you're an observer. Now you come to this lifetime, you're more spiritually involved than you was in the past one. So you can look at it in a more objective way. And then we bring you back like a leaf in the wind. You just let yourself be guided back to your present life because you're already connected to this one. It's easy to come back. I don't do the counting 1, 2, 3. I just feel like it's too much control. And we're trying to make this as easy as possible. You know, a nice little smooth transition.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be good. And usually when you work with kids and children in this situation, it's a whole lot easier to work with them because their imaginations are still... they're active as all get out. Your husband might be a little bit of a problem because of the closed-mindedness. But I think you'd be open to it.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things of getting everybody there. Like I said before, I want to do a reading with both of you, if not you guys separately, too, to sit there and get the insights on certain things of opening communication between the two of you. I always sit there and do readings with you. I'll do readings with him. And then I do one together because I've done this in the past before where I've just gone right into the couple reading. And I wasn't prepared what I was going to happen in the midst of everything falling the way it did. Or you have a controlling husband. It's just like, get a little bit of an insight on how he really perceives and takes things. I think he wants to learn, but he's also got that human arrogance to him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me get your number before you go.
Okay, the number here is 937-838-6337.
Okay, and thank you so much, both of you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, have a nice night. I got a boogie now.
No problem. Thank you again for the call, and Happy New Year.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Very nice lady. I think I'm looking forward to working with her. I think it'd be great. And I think we just lost Desiree. Desiree. Oh, isn't that terrible? Well, she'll be back. All right. Hi, how are you? I don't really have any information with you, except for a lot of ones, which is very positive.
Hello?
Yes, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Yes, we are talking to you. What's your name?
It's Jeanette.
Jeanette?
Yep.
I was just saying that you have all these ones across the board, so I guess you're calling through Skype. Correct?
It's actually a private number.
Oh, is it a private number? Okay, cool. I've just noticed that. I'm just saying when people call through the Skype, you get the same 11111. So it's freaking me out. Hold up for a second. We lost Desiree for a second. I'm going to bring it back real quick. There we go. Desiree.
Hey, I'm here. It was a commercial that came on.
It's okay. We got Jeanette on the line right now, and she's going to ask us a couple questions.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well,
actually, I was wondering if you guys can pick anything up about the settlement agreement that my student, the Eddie, and I will be coming to with regard to finances. We kind of sat down today with a consultation with a mediator, and financial portion of it. The doesn't seem like he really has the money, nor does he want to think in terms of paying alimony. So my suggestion was a lump sum, but there are strings attached to that lump sum money that give me concern. So I was just wondering if you can have some insight for me.
I hear ringing bells.
Yeah.
I'm saying, what if that's a sign? One thing I get the idea of the lump sum. I keep getting this really strong impression it's all going to work out. I see this lump sum coming through. It's like you have some reservations, but I keep getting that the lump sum is actually going to come through and be more of a positive than it would be a negative. What do you pick up, Desiree?
I'm picking up to really listen to your intuition and to your gut feeling about what had played out today. That's really important because that's really what's going to tell you what's going to be going on. So in hindsight, I would really listen and ask your angels what they would want for you. And also write it down on a piece of paper. What is your ideal situation? How you would like it to turn out? And manifest that.
Well, I'm definitely okay with that. It's just as far as this lump, the only way that I'm going to get any kind of support, it seems, is through this lump sum because he's not making any money right now, and if it comes down to using that formula, there is no money to use for that. So the lump sum is actually tied to my son's account that we can't touch the money. In other words, my soon-to-be ex-husband is the one who's the manager of the account, and so that name would be transferred to me instead, but that money is only really set aside for his needs, with regard to pool and things like that. It might be difficult for me to pull anything out if we needed it, let's say, for living expenses.
Okay. My biggest thing about the whole situation is you're being too analytical about it. And what I mean by that is it's like focusing on the situation. You keep saying, your soon-to-be ex-husband is never going to get a job again. And the universe is saying, well, you need to change that. And your angels, are saying flat out, you need to figure out what that sum is. But also the same thing, too, but figuring out exactly the definition of all the things around you. Because focus means the idea of focusing on what you want, not focusing on what's going now. Because I'll tell you right now, the biggest thing I pick up is the idea of your husband not working right now. It's going to change after the first year. And the way it came to me was very right after the first year, he's going to be working.
He has a business. It's just not making money.
Well, then if that's the case, when it comes up as working, he's going to have things coming after the first of the year and everything, and he's going to be working.
Mm-hmm.
What does he do?
It's a massage business.
Also, with the situation with the massage business, guys, I mean, come on. The idea of declaring to the universe what you want, you got to do that every day. I mean, I sit here in my shop, I would sit down every day and say, I need to do 10 readings a day and make this amount of money. And there wasn't a day, I don't think, that went by that I didn't do that. And there was even a couple of days I forgot to do it. And then when I realized I didn't do it, I put down, it's like 6 o'clock in the afternoon, let's do 4 readings for this amount of money. And every time I do that, it would always happen. It was just the idea of realizing the power that you have and not letting the world say, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
BS. It's like the old ideal. When I sit here and focus on this situation, it could turn around so much. It's the ideal just declaring. This does start decorating and judging. I'm saying declare it. What do you want?
Well, that's why I'm concerned. Is it better for me to go and try to get alimony because his business will pick up and he'll do better? Or am I better off just taking a lump sum, even though I may not have full access to that money? Or use of that money.
Mm-hmm. So the money's for your son.
Yeah, I mean, it's really set aside in an account that is, until he gets 18, is really just for his purposes, educational purposes.
Yeah,
well,
but it's like a trust fund.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I totally understand.
When I sit here and pick up the situation, and I was listening to you, it came to me and said, after the first year, he's going to be working. So I feel like in that instance of telling me that, they're also telling you which direction you need to go in. I will sit there and say, I feel like it's one where you need to, the one you really feel comfortable with is a lump sum because of what you see now. They're saying after the first year, he's going to be back to work and his business is going to pick up very quickly. Hopefully he understands the idea of declaring as well. And
yeah.
Kind of weird with the situation of people being in certain certain professions and still letting the world tell them, well, you know, the economy says things are slow. Whoop-de-doo. Okay, the economy and the news people and everybody else are all going to say what they can see on the surface. That's what news is all about. That's why I always recommend people to stop watching the news. Think about, I want you to do me a favor and put a vision in your head of how it was in 1869. Everybody didn't know anything, and the world still evolved, and people, they were still rich businessmen, they were businesses flourishing. All this stuff was going on great. They were listening to their instincts. They were listening to their gut. Everything started with a vision. It's the same thing with this situation, too. I mean, I'm not sure how you feel about your ex-husband if you want to actually pass on the news and say, hey, you know, what you need to do is you need to start focusing on your prosperity instead of focusing on the lack of what you don't have. Because the more you focus on what you don't have, the more you don't have. The more you start focusing on other things. I'm just saying. Be a loving person and just look over his faults for just 5 minutes and next time you have a chance to see him face to face and just say, hey, I mean, your business is slow. Is it slow because you think it should be slow? Or is it actually because of lack of business? And if there's lack of business, when was the last time you actually thought about what you should be doing? And are you putting limitations on that as well? If you want to make $400 a week, should you be making $1,000 a week? And so on. And just kind of leave it to the universe to give you what you deserve, but also in your heart, tell yourself you do deserve it or you won't get it. All right? And I'm saying to you, I was sitting there saying the lump sum looks good, but I think I was also picking up what you were looking at the time and what's the situation of what you see on the surface. And right after I said that, and then it came to me and said, he's going to be working after the first year. So I think it's, to me, it's telling you that you need to go for alimony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I...
Child support.
That's what you got too?
Yeah, I'm picking that up. I picked that up right away. That's what I would go for, definitely. I don't know how many years you've been married to him.
Many.
It's over 10?
Yes.
Well, then I would definitely, if you went to a mediator today, I would, go find an attorney.
Oh, okay.
That's what I suggest. And get a... I'm picking up a woman. Look at a woman attorney that really knows family law.
Which I don't think would be that hard to do. Like I said before, you know, this whole situation of clearing out this negative energy and letting your intuition and listen to your angels and your guides, you're going to find this person. It's hard to find a lawyer, but it's not impossible to find one that's got some kind of spiritual connection.
And ask for that. Ask for someone that has spiritual connection so that the angels and the spirit guides, they will guide you to where you're supposed to go.
Yeah, it's one of those things of actually looking at the... When you find this person, they're going to have a glow about them, like a light.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to notice everybody around you is dingy and dark. I'm talking about the other lawyers, not you per se,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
But she just seems to have a enthusiasm about her. And I think she's been a lawyer for a very long time, but she still has that enthusiasm because she loves her job.
Mm.
So she's going to have the energy. Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I just get the distinct impression that I've got a feeling that he almost doesn't want to make money until this is all said and done so that he doesn't
bingo.
Have
one. I hate to say it that way, but bingo, you're right. That's why you need to say what you say and say, dude, this is the way it works. Prosperity is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week thing. Okay? So the idea of putting a limitation on it because you don't want to give something, you're just not hurting yourself. You're hurting your ex-wife, you're hurting your child, and everything that goes along with it. Because we got better things to do than to sit here and deal with somebody who doesn't want to give. And the idea of not wanting to give in this situation, I mean, if you were married, he'd be giving it spontaneously. But now he's got this attitude, ego, says, well, since he's not a part of it, he doesn't want to be a part of it in any kind of shape or form.
Right.
But the situation with the getting divorced in the first place, I mean, I feel like he's the culprit.
Right.
So the idea of having this kind of attitude, I mean, what did he think? I mean,
right.
You know,
I definitely want to really foster that. I mean, it's almost like I want to back away from that whole manipulation game.
Well, that's what we're saying, too. When I sit here and say focus on the outcome, let's focus on the visions you want to happen and how this is unfolds and how focus on the outcome. That's in the process of focusing on the income and focusing on what you want to happen, you got to maintain that vision, okay, because they're going to try to get you to change that vision because they want you to do it their way. But you got to maintain that. And by separating yourself from the whole thing and actually communicating through your lawyers, you can actually do that a whole lot more effectively.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Lots I would recommend, and I hate to say this, and I think it's actually the reason I say that, because I'm just saying on the end of this whole thing, with the situation of relationships and that kind of thing with you personally, a past life reading would not be a bad thing, even if it was only for a half hour. Because as we're going into this next year, I think you want to be in a position of trying to attract a different kind of person.
Oh, for sure.
So I'm just saying, I'm asking you just to give me a chance to work with you for like an hour so we can actually get that into the first of the year so you can actually find that person quicker than you think.
Okay.
You're going through a process of healing here because of the anger and frustration, but there's also hostility that hurts you too as well because you don't understand it. So stop letting him do that. And also with the situation of just protect yourself with the pink light, okay? This way you can actually find people who are loving and nurturing, who actually have your best interest. It also filters out the ones that don't. I'm saying with this progression, it's also not just the idea of connecting to past lives and finding out why the relationship you've been through, why it's gone that way, because it seems like it's gone that way for a lot longer than you think. And it also helps you. It's another connection. Connecting with your archangels and your angels again and actually feeling that connection on a different level so where there you will trust it from that point on. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, I want you to just, when you get off the phone, take 3 deep breaths and just kind of let things go, because it seems like he has a tendency to really pull you into these little scenarios and stuff, so... Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel like I have to make some decisions pretty quickly here, and so I'm just not clear right now, and that's bothering me.
Well, the only thing...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that if you're the only one that's putting yourself in the role of making the quick decision. You can step back and state to yourself, I don't have to make quick decisions. You're the one in control of this. So take your time with it. If when you're breathing and you meet people and it doesn't feel good in your gut, walk away from them. When you're trying to make these decisions, but take a lot of time with this. This is something that you don't need to rush into. And ask the universe for help when it comes into your financial matters so that you can be taken care of. But don't feel that if you don't make the right decision. It's kind of like this. If I decide to go left, but then, okay, I go left, but then guess what? I'm going to beat myself up because I should have gone right. You'll know which is the right decision.
Yeah.
Take your time making the choice.
Also, I will give you one bit of advice and some information about an archangel that is with you, helping you to be able to communicate what you need to say and what you need to do, not just to people around you, but also yourself. That's Archangel Gabriel.
Right.
Also, with the situation of cutting loose all the past, because you want to sit there and you get to the first of the year, you want to be able to, when that ball hits the ground, mm-hmm. you're going to sit there and it's like telling yourself, it's over, it's done. Now it's time for a new life and focus on the future and let the past go, because if you don't let the past go completely, it'll interfere with your future. And this is just too good of a year for that, okay? Archangel Raphael and Archangel Michael are another angels that you can work with to sever the ties with Archangel Michael, and Archangel Raphael can also help you heal. But also with the healing process, Archangel Raphael can also open up the door for more opportunities of abundance of acting. And when I say abundance, I'm saying to the essence of your life to change for the positive. So you can actually just live your life without having to worry about anything. When you connect with your angels, it's spontaneous answers to make spontaneous decisions. So you can make quick decisions, but you don't want to compromise, so you want to make the right ones. That's why we always recommend the idea of connecting with them and listening. Listening, seeing, feeling, however they communicate with you. Always be open to that and know what it is. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. That's very helpful. Thank you very much, both of you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call, and happy
New Year. Happy New Year.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I lost my arrow. Don't you hate when you lose your arrow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ooh. So, what was I going to say? Oh, next caller. All right, here we go. Area code 610, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, and what's your name?
Hello.
What's that?
Oh, okay, yes, my name's Diane.
Diane, how are you?
Who knows? It's one of those transition couple of years, and I have so many trees that I need to focus on. They seem like redwoods, so I need to look at the forest, and just what do you pick up and see me to work on first, since they're all big things.
Okay,
all aspects.
The first thing I pick up is redwoods, but redwoods. I'm having flashbacks of Bugs Bunny, I'm sorry. redwoods. what I was picking up very strong, and the reason I'm kind of getting kind of flustered here, was like exciting to actually pick up on somebody. I can actually give them advice to go hug a tree.
Yeah,
but I feel like porcupines. I don't want to be hurt anymore.
Well, see, the ideal, the hugging the tree, is a very spiritual experience, because when you're hugging a tree, people don't realize it's like hugging another human being. A lot of energy there. Trees have personalities too. It's like a cat or a dog. Trees, animals, pets. I mean, some people get attached to their flowers and stuff when they got those little things in the windows and they got flowers hanging everywhere. I mean, the ideal, looking at the ideal of what a tree and vegetation is, it's life.
Mm-hmm.
They bring in carbon and oxide, and they emit oxygen into our, which actually helps us live. But also the same thing, it's like connections. Imagine a tree, especially a redwood, have very deep roots. Okay, and it's like rooting you into the world again and getting you where you're attached, as in not attached, but embracing, grounded and embracing the connections that you have with everybody. Because with your business and things that go on around you, if you don't connect with everybody, how can you have a business? And plus it helps you and this might sound crazy, but by hugging this tree at least once a day and giving it about 20 minutes, you absorb a lot of energy out of the tree. And the trees, like animals, they're very appreciative. And they'll give that to you willingly. But you can also use visualizations with those, imagining yourself as you touch that tree and the energy going out across the world, and just all those people that you're connecting with.
I have a blank canvas that I can go ahead and start whatever I want, and that's where it's like
mm-hmm.
I see different aspects, but I'm not sure which to concentrate on first.
So you have an empty canvas. Now, is that a metaphor, or do you actually have an empty canvas?
I could pretty much say I have an empty canvas of what I want to, you know, where I want to proceed. Not by my choice, but I realize it's a gift from the universe now.
Do you have a business?
No. I'm going through mediation. I imagine closure on it. I'm unemployed right now. Do I go back for education? And I don't know what I want to do. I'm at
the
different
about-
phase of my life that and no children. I don't have to be responsible for anybody but myself and my cats, which is unusual for me.
I'm just saying, with the situation of responsibility, you know, you've always, it's always the way it's always been anyway. You've always been responsible for yourself. It's all the person you are responsible for. Even your cats, they got their own personalities. They do whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the idea, all you really do have to do is worry about yourself. But see, what I'm saying is, I feel like you should own a business. I think you should. The idea of a business starting at the beginning of the year, see it very strongly. You see this little situation you're in coming out very, very good, and taking that money and investing. But see, when you sit there and get this focus on education, I don't see it as traditional education. I see it as being an education thing. Like, I'll give you an example. I did a reading through a person that gave me a reading today, which was channeling, and I was talking to my Archangel Gabriel, who was telling me basically, I asked the question, I said, I feel an opportunity is coming up for me to be teaching. He basically came back and said, that one's already been fulfilled, which basically, I'm already in a teaching situation. But it was also all the knowledge and information that I've actually acquired. I look at it more as my angels, God, and the world being my classroom. Because I've actually done some things with people who just assume that I've taken many years of psychology, and I have not. I just have a tendency to study everything and take a step back and look at what's going on. Look at people. I have theories I hear about, so I watch people. Do they really fit in these theories? And try to deal with it more on an individual basis, not a group effort either, as well. Because I feel like sometimes in situations of doctors saying, well, this group of people did this. But see, he was also focusing on that too. So how do I know the law of attraction didn't give him exactly what he was focusing on? Was to prove me wrong. So I have to find my law of attraction and get the information so I can prove him wrong. Prove otherwise. But see, it's like one of those things. I love that because he's trying to prove that the law of attraction doesn't work by attracting the information he needed, which actually he proved it anyway. So, you know, the situation with you is the idea of learning things like that and observing. That's what I keep getting. It's the idea of taking a step back. Focusing and hugging a tree is taking a step away from your life and seeing things in a different way. So it's like a thing of looking at everything that way. Also, the idea of sitting down and focusing on what you love to do and then taking that idea, sitting down and writing out how you can make that happen. And don't be surprised if you start writing and writing and writing. And come in with a lot of good ideas of actually how you're going to, this next year is just going to be a really, one of those years where you're going to say, finally, this is the way it's supposed to be.
And I guess that's what I'm struggling with. I don't see being drawn, for so many years I've taken care of others and been responsible, that it's like, what do I want to do? I have no idea.
Well, that's the idea of sitting down and thinking about it. When I say think about it, it's just the idea of letting yourself go, taking a nap, whatever it is. I mean, I've actually been in situations of trying to fix some pipes, and I couldn't figure out how to fix the freaking thing. I went to lay down for a second. I'm like in a halfway asleep, and all of a sudden it came to me, I know how to do this. And boom, I was out of freaking bed. Things happen very quickly because you can't think about it right now. But it's almost like falling in the situation of the advice I've been giving everybody that right now, just take a break until that's the first of the year. Because you don't have to make any decisions right this minute. Because I just feel like once you get into January, the things that you've been trying to do, there's always been a wall there blocking it, and it's not going to be there anymore.
Okay, I'll give my... I won't feel guilty about giving myself a break.
Okay. Well, hold on one second. You got a couple more questions I want to say to everybody. Thank you for tuning in the show. Thank you for everybody who called in. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Tomorrow we got a show on, which I can't, don't you hate that when you go blank? Anyway, tune in tomorrow, we'll be doing more readings, and also, what is tomorrow, Thursday? Also tune in Friday and Saturday where we're going to be doing nothing but readings for 3 hours, okay? 3 hours Friday and Saturday, now we're doing it every week, where you all call in, ask any kind of questions you want to. So we're also giving away the 10th caller, 45-minute reading, so call and win that We're going to be back. We're here 6 days a week. So thank you again for everybody tuning in. Happy New Year. And may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. Bye-bye, guys. And we'll get back to you.
Okay.
I can stay on the line for another hour. Okay, so if you've got any more questions and you want to ask them, go right ahead.
Okay.
And you're still there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying with you, I feel like it's really a service that that's coming to me. I see you doing something with your hands. But I also feel like you're a very strong healer.
I seem to be an attentive type of person, and I can see where I'm going to have to go head-to-head in another mediation with my husband, but I'm to the point it's like, do I get my lawyer involved and just, you know, let's get this over with and so I can go on.
It's one of those things of focusing on exactly what you want to happen.
Mm.
Okay, the reason I say that, I keep hearing these stories, and everybody thinks that, you know, this is the way it is, and nothing can change that, and you have that attitude in your mind. And I'm not trying to be judgmental or nothing, I'm just trying to get a place where we can start and say, okay, let's stop doing that. But for instance, I'll give you this, okay, I know for a fact, because I've experienced these things myself, that's why I get kind of irritated with some things I hear, is because I know the potential of what you can do. But the world has been telling you so for so long that we have these certain limitations when we don't have no limitations. Even the idea of the sky is the limit can still be interpreted as a limitation, because the sky is nothing more than going out into a void. So there is no limit. If you look at the genie, you know, if you really trace that story back, you'll find out that there was no limitations on the wishes. Your wishes, my command, was all it was at. It was just that somebody came in afterwards and thought, you know, that just doesn't sound real. But also he was basing that on how he was raised. So,
after 30 years, it's kind of sometimes you have to detox the thought process,
exactly.
Which it's weird.
Well, the question came to me one time, how come a lot of people, when they start doing spiritual work, happens late in their life? I said, well, it depends on your interpretation what it means by late in life. I mean, if you go by the Bible in some ways, it says we're supposed to live at least be 120 years old. Well, if you say that, then having a midlife crisis shouldn't happen until you're 60. So, you know, it's a way of perceiving things. And if you don't feel that way, that's the point. You should also go with that whole perception on other things, but looking at the limitations, there's no limitations, and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. The one thing I was going to tell you was there was a story of a couple that were trying to get their kids into school. And it was a private school. And the due date to enroll your child falls after their birth. Well, actually fell. His birthday fell after the due date. Okay? And they were sort of looking at the situation and saying, well, it's only a matter of this and this. Why can't we have our child in here so he can actually go this year, because it's only like a month off? And they were like, no, we never changed our policy. Okay. And these couple stuck to their guns, stuck to their vision, and said, okay, that's fine. Can we talk to the manager? So they talked to the manager. And the manager went down and did his little thing, okay? And there was they were just maintaining calm and faith. And nothing was going to deter them from the vision they saw and the outcome they saw, okay? So they said, okay, can we talk to the owner? Well, the manager goes, well, actually, I am the owner. But he says, I do answer to a board. And he said, I will take this to them, but we never change our policy. We never change our policy. Now, see, what he's trying to do is reinforce his vision.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what they did was they came back and said, okay, but go talk to the board. Because they're already basically saying, you go talk to the board, because we already see the answer. We already see the outcome, too. So they maintained this the whole time. What happened was is the owner comes back and says, I don't know why we're doing this. But we never changed policy, but this time we're going to change the policy, and your child gets to go into school. Now, I always sit here and say that the reason that happened the way it did was because that was the way it was supposed to happen, but also so that those two people did not give up on their vision. They never got angry. They never got upset. They never yelled at that person. They just knew, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that what they were visualizing was going to happen. And it did, because they wouldn't give in. So they maintained that. They saw it. They felt it. And if I've always said, if you can visualize it, it exists. So therefore, you're the vehicle that brings it into reality. So the situation here is, sometimes we have a tendency to take things too seriously. That has a tendency to block us from seeing what we should do. I mean, this situation of being in the position I was in was something that took it was a risk to go from what I was doing to this, you know, making a paycheck every week and actually stepping out and doing it myself. And that one little thought was actually keeping me from something that's actually turned out to be, it's progressing, it's getting better and better and better. But some people think that since it's not progressing fast enough for them, that it's not right for me.
That's why I've always done things for reasons, and now I want to do it because I can enjoy it, meaning not being under constraints when I decide to, I don't know, that third phase of my career, you know, to move on. That is something I can enjoy, and also helping people, but I don't get vision of it or anything.
Now, the one thing I see for you is the ideal being intuitive, but also seeing it as a way of helping other people in a healing way, of seeing the deeper meaning of the situation, of seeing somebody who sits there and tells you one thing and being able to call them on it and say, no, we know what's really going on. Because we all know the process of healing also has to be a process of realizing it too.
Now it all makes sense while I'm going through what I'm going through. Yeah. And I'm trying to take the patient step back approach, which is very unusual in my life now that I'm in my mid-50s. It's interesting. And I'll just keep being patient. In January then will kind of lead me towards, because I don't feel, I'm trying to do everything without angry or bitterness or, you know, those type of things. So,
well, that's what I'm saying about with your husband. It's the idea of when you're sitting in there. Because I used to, you know, it's kind of crazy when you do that kind of stuff, because people start asking questions, what's wrong with you? But there's nothing wrong with you. You're actually being what you're supposed to do, is calm and collected. I mean, when I was living in Colorado, I had an apartment I was living in, and I was like $250 behind the rent. I bust my little butt, I'd go out the door, and I was constantly doing, I was going to the shop, I was working, I was going downtown, I was living my life. And I wasn't going to sit there and let myself get caught up in the idea of focusing on bills, because I knew, as long as I maintained and focused on what I was doing, they were going to get taken care of, one way or the other. Maybe if it was just a miracle, or something came in and someone did it for me, or the money popped in my freaking lap, or I went to the shop one day and hooked onto a nice client, which I've done that too before, where I was sitting there going, I have no money, and then things are going crazy, and then the next day I run into a client who ends up making over $2,000 in 2 weeks because of that one connection. It only happened in 2 seconds. But it was the idea of, I think it was more of me living my life. And one day my landlord even stopped me and said, does anything bother you? I said, why should it? And he's like, well, what I mean is, you realize you're $250 behind the rent, right? And I said, yeah, but my philosophy is, well, what do you want me to do? You want me to take the energy and worry about it? Or do you want me to take the energy and go find your money? And the guy looked at me and said, I want you to go find my money. And he said, and he's like, wow, it's amazing how you put that, because that makes a lot of sense. So,
and that's why,
okay.
That's why I feel the last time I had to confront my husband that I made more progress by actually getting angry with him to let him know I'm standing my ground and you're not going to take advantage of me this time around. So,
well, that's true too. But, you know, the one thing I stress here is anger is good, and that situation, that's the situation. Take them like pregnancies. They're all different. That situation required you showing your exertion. But see, now you sit there and take the other one and be still and be calm and be collected. Because the more you do that, the more in control that you are, which is basically not doing anything, sometimes less action, you get more action out of it. Because he's going to start thinking, okay, she went off on me. Now she's not doing anything. He's going to be in a situation, what you're going to do. And that anticipation of trying to figure out what you're going to do, he might give you exactly what you want because he doesn't know what you're going to do to him.
True, and he kind of likes playing the games where if I have to call his bluff, I will. But that's because I've done my research and know that, you know, I have the laws behind me or whatever.
I'm just saying, trust your information that you have. It's great to do your homework. I'm just saying, in these situations, that's why you should be a lot more calmer Because I'm just saying, in situations of situations I've been in, the more calmer I am, it seems like the people across the table are getting more out of control because they're trying to get a reaction out of you because they don't know how to proceed. Okay.
And when you have people that want you to be out of control, you know that's their playing field, their game, their expertise. So if you don't get into the arena with them,
Well, that's why you feel in certain situations. I don't know if you felt yourself before, but when they pull you into that because of anger,
mm-hmm.
if you sit there and think about it now, you probably had a point where you felt weak because they just took your energy.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've had this, I used to have that with a woman who was almost my mother-in-law. Every time she would come into a situation, I always wanted to argue with her, and I just felt sick in my stomach, and I felt like someone had zapped all my strength out of me. I didn't realize what was going on was she's feeding off my strength, which was telling me she was actually a weak person. Why would she want to go around and steal everybody else's energy?
I can see people that need to, that do take my energy, and that's why I'm very lucky now. It's like I get to be selective in life.
Right.
But then I have to make sure that I'm not being arrogant in my selection. You know? So I'm looking for the balance.
That's true, too. But see, when we were sitting talking about getting perspective on everything, means what do those actually think? Now, some people say you're arrogant because you know.
Well, I'm selfish. I don't know. I've never been selfish for myself. So it's like, how do I...
No, I'm just saying with the situation, arrogance or self-centeredness, sometimes it could be just confidence in doing your homework and knowing exactly what you got to do. And people have a tendency to look at that a different way because they're not. So they're going to say, well, you're arrogant. They're not. It's like they can't conceive it because they're not it. So they're going to perceive it and give that judgmental. And say, well, you're arrogant because I wouldn't do that. Well, you don't know because you're not in that situation. So that's what I'm saying. Well, the idea of taking advice is one thing. But when I said connect with your angels, angels have no restrictions. Angels have never been humans. So they can see the idea of the unlimited possibilities. Human beings can only see what they've been and what they've experienced.
So at that particular point, I should give up my preoccupation of what other people think also, because I'm not a...
Exactly.
Go with my intuition. Mm-hmm.
Right, because people are going to make decisions, and they're going to do or... They just have a tendency to do whatever anyway. It doesn't matter what you do or what you don't do. They're always going to say something. So, you know, the best thing to do in that situation is always be good with yourself, be comfortable with yourself, as long as you're speaking the truth and you're doing what you think you should do. That's all you need to know. Because people are going to sit there and do it all the time. I mean, I've had people sit there and say, well, you shouldn't be doing this because you're not a millionaire. Okay, that's kind of a weird one. But I just look at them going, first of all, I'm not you. Second of all, thank you. And I'm pretty sure if I was in your shoes, I would probably perceive it the same way. Doesn't mean I condone it. Doesn't mean I don't. It's just the idea I understand. And I have to go because I have work to do. You know?
True. And by saying you understand doesn't mean that you agree. And that's why I found a lot of time there's assumption on his end without asking. So I have to accept. It doesn't mean I agree, but then I can realize that, hey, I'm not going to be in denial. And
oh, yeah.
Interesting. Exactly. That's a weird place in life. Weird, weird, weird.
I'm saying right now, it's the best thing to do is just take a break right now until the first of the year. And then as soon as I'm just saying, make a pledge to yourself when that ball hits the ground, whatever was isn't anymore.
But you know what? I realize I'm very grateful and very appreciative. I can still see those things. And it's like, wow. I really did have an interesting life also. And and I look and say, how can I make it more interesting now as I go along? And I got the choice.
So
I won't think anymore. I'll just be a dumb blonde for the rest of the year. That's the biggest gift I could give to myself. And
go take a nap.
That's so good.
Yeah, this is rest. I mean, once you put yourself in once the first year starts, you're going to see. It's going to start up just that quick.
Then what do you see health-wise? I have a broken ankle.
Health-wise?
I've had it for 3 months.
No, I'm just saying, it was kind of weird. You sit there and I think I heard every other word. It said, when am I going to get a plate on top of my head?
Oh, ankle.
So I was like, I'm pretty sure it's what you said.
Broken ankle.
You have
ankle
a broken,
broken
ankle? Broken ankle is the idea of learning how to support yourself. That means spiritually, not financially. So it's another sign of saying, as long as you keep working on yourself and letting it lead you in the right direction, what you feel like you should do, because I feel like you're going to be working with people, and hands on hands, spiritually. I'm not sure about the massages or anything like that, but I do feel like it's one of those things, a very intuitive thing. But it's also another way of, it's like opening a door of other experiences to tap into more of your spirituality.
Good.
I can hear feedback
on this.
Yeah, it's starting to echo and stuff like that. And plus, I got to go because I've been on the air for like 3 hours, and I got to go.
Go get some water. Thank you very much for staying on with me.
Oh, no problem. And if you get a chance, I've been suggesting this to a lot of people, but they're really powerful tools. If you think about getting a past life reading, because I can tell everybody right now, it's a great time to do it. You know, I've been thinking about if it gets any more popular than it is, I might actually leave that $10 an hour and $5 for a half hour, probably for a couple more months.
My girlfriend is the one who called me to call you. I guess she's been engaged with you. And your number?
It's 937.
937.
838.
838.
6337.
6337. Thank you very much, and take your break. 3 hours is a long time, but I thank you for the extended time, and I'll talk to you about a past life.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. I'll look forward to working with you, and have a happy new year.
Okay. Thank you. You too. I'm taking a break for the rest of the year. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.